Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Spot Me podcast. My name is Daniel Hanlon.
My name is Niall McCann.
And it's a bright Saturday afternoon, Niall.
Yeah, has spring sprung?
I mean, it's getting there. Yeah. I think maybe we just are going to skip it and go straight into summer at this point.
Maybe like, we'll skip it and go straight into autumn.
I love autumn.
Yeah, autumn is a nice month, a nice season.
But, you know,
sign of the zodiac.
At least we're still lucky enough to get seasons. Some people don't get them.
Yeah. Do we get seasons? I don't think we get seasons compared to a lot of places, though.
Yeah,
Ireland
but...
Ireland is much more around the median line constantly. Like.
It's kind of enough, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't like to live through a New York winter every year.
No, I wouldn't like having to have different clothes.
Yeah, no, I get you.
I can just about scrape by. I can manage to deal with being slightly too warm in summer and slightly too cold in winter.
I wear essentially the same thing every day.
There you go.
Like the clothes I wore to my wedding, I wear them to work now. Like, you know, they're just my clothes. Like, you know,
there's a place.
Some of them are just newer than others. Like,
there's a place doing 99 euro suits.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Is that a good deal or is that classless?
Oh, it could be both of those things simultaneous,
like you hear these places in the States like the suit barn or whatever, like, you know, five suits for $100 or whatever.
I don't know. It's what you call them.
What do you call them?
On Earl Street.
McKenna.
No, across the road.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because it's the two fancy clothes places facing each other. It's like a sitcom.
But isn't it like Phil Lynch and Michael Lynch?
Well, one's McKenna-man, though, isn't it?
Oh, right. It's not Phil Lynch. It's McKenna-man. Okay, fair play. It's the other one. Okay. I just saw the sign was in the window.
Were you curious enough to go in?
No.
I get you.
But I did think, but not there.
Do you know what I watched last night?
What did you watch?
I watched a documentary about Nat King Cole.
Nat King Cole.
Did you know, right?
That sounded nothing like him, did it?
No, it didn't really, but I wasn't going to say anything.
All right.
Because it's better than what my Nat King Cole impression would be.
Unforgettable.
With my tiny tots with their eyes all aglow.
We'll find it hard to see.
But did you know, they were showing this clip of this one TV appearance that he did at some point or another in the, I don't know if it was the 30s or the 40s, I can't remember now. But they whited him up.
What?
They put white makeup on him.
Oh, Jesus.
And it's like, you can still tell it's Nat King Cole. And he's not white like you and I are. Like, you know, freckly
like?
And pink. Like, you know, he just looked weird. Like, it looked like makeup. He looked like, it almost looked like, what are the French clowns?
Oh, yeah, the mimes.
It almost had that look about a Piero. What is the word?
Piero.
It was bad. Like, he looked fucking ghoulish. Like, you know. And he just went like, went along with it. Had to just be all right.
Yeah,
you know, no choice.
Slap on the grease paint, so.
It was fucking really creepy.
The clan lit across in his yard.
They burned the N-word into the grass.
Did they?
Yeah. So I think for a couple of years afterwards, that word was just in the grass. Even when it was growing back, it was brown grass.
Mm.
You know, and
I'm not laughing at that.
No, I know you are.
It made me think of when I was a kid. For 2 years, we had nothing. The lawn was dead, and nothing would grow. It was like a...
Is there a reason for it?
Yeah.
Some kind of apocalypse out in Cooley?
Yeah.
It's a Cooley-centered apocalypse.
We sowed the lawn with grass seed, like, and my father worked at that time in the forestry, and they had this spray that they sprayed around the bottom of the trees to kill the grass, mind. This was grass-killing stuff. And he said, I'll give it a quick spray to keep the weeds down so the lawn will come up. So he went out and he sprayed the whole lawn, and for 2 years we just had brown out where nothing would grow. Nothing would grow.
Was it a cause for celebration then when something did go?
I recall it being a cause for, you know, a two solid year cause for, you know, that man wasn't getting the upper hand in any fucking argument.
No matter what it was, and the state you made of the lawn.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't trust you with anything.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. So that's what I was thinking of. I wasn't thinking of Nat King Cole being intimidated by a terrorist organization.
No, I didn't for one second think that you found that funny.
Yeah.
But it was, I just didn't realize. Like, you think Nat King Cole, he was pretty famous.
National treasure.
Yeah, you'd think he was kind of beyond that kind of treatment, but obviously not.
Sure, it was. That would have been, what, 20 years later? Didn't somebody make one of those big Las Vegas casinos drain their pool because Sammy Davis Jr. had been swimming in it before him?
Oh, God, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's sick.
And it's somebody, I don't know if it's somebody you'd necessarily recognize, but it was a prominent person. Well, it would have to be if he was staying in the same fucking hotel as Sammy Davis Jr., like, you know. But he absolutely, and they did it.
Do you know what they did? So they actually went ahead and
they drained that
pool. Fuck them. That man should have just been fucked out.
Different time.
Money talks, I suppose.
Different time.
But apparently, he was doing, Nat King Cole was doing some kind of variety show in England, like a live performance, and he duetted with Bruce Forsyth. Because Bruce Forsyth, I didn't realize he was a musician, but I guess it stands to reason he was a variety performer.
He was one of those musical guys. He had to be able to do fucking
everything. Yeah, like, yeah, that's that man was never a handsome man.
Bruce Forsyth. No, he's mostly chin.
Like, even with the no dark hair and no mustache or whatever, it's just like, oh dear.
He's in Bedknobs and Broomsticks, isn't he?
Bruce Forsyth is.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Minor role. He meets your man who was the father in Mary Poppins.
Oh, okay.
And he's a bit of a spiv on the streets of London.
Oh, right. I didn't realise that he was in films.
Bruce Forsyth? Well...
Film.
I didn't say that. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah, I said he was in a film.
I didn't realise he was in film.
Yeah. Look, he had a hell of a career, like, and he went to the very end, didn't he?
He's very entertaining, man. Yeah, he died last year.
Yeah, was he?
Fucking grew up on the Generation Game, me.
No,
he's always on to my nannies on a Saturday afternoon, like, you know.
Yeah, I didn't. I know. I didn't have the English stations. Yeah. I grew up on Theresa Lowe and Where in the World.
In Fatima.
Was he? Yeah.
Bruce
Wayne. Nice to see you.
To see you. Nice. And all those really, like, just bordering on smutty jokes through the whole show. Well, like, that was just his thing.
Funny,
like,
enough, I was talking. I went and met a cousin of mine yesterday up the town. For a couple of swift ones.
You were climbing the walls a little bit, man, were you? Looking to get out?
No, I just put the call out there and I got him and he came back to me. He happened to be in Dundalk. He's normally up in Uri and Cormac, this is. Cormac McCann, who was on the podcast.
We did a podcast to him.
And we were talking, at some stage it got round to the Carry On films. And I don't...
The Carry On
films. The Carry Ons. But that's Bruce Forsyth's... It's the exact same tone. It's that kind of, it's a very innocent kind of
smut. It's not as on the nose, but Bruce Forsyth was more about looking to the camera when someone said something that could be innuendoized.
Like Frankie Howard.
Yeah, I never liked Frankie Howard. Don't like Frankie Howard.
Don't like Frankie Howard?
No, not really.
He's a big... I don't mind him. I don't know that I could take an awful lot of that.
Yeah, there's no, like, I don't think there's any full Frankie Howard film. Like, isn't there, isn't he just like a bit player in everything?
There must be.
God, what must
he was
be
big like? In Up Pompeii, like.
He, what?
The TV show, Up Pompeii.
God, I don't even know what that was. What is
I
that?
I think it was kind of a spoof. It was when I, Claudius was big with, what's his name, Derek Jacobi and Brian Blessed.
Oh, Brian Blessed.
The fucking, like, I don't know, it was the fucking House of Cards.
Did he do anything except shout, Brian Blessed? Brian
Blessed! God and alive!
He's the king in the original Blackadder, isn't he?
in the first season.
Blackadder.
Yeah, that wasn't a good season.
He's got his fucking beetle haircut or whatever kind of fucking bald
choice. Yeah, it was weird, yeah. It was a strange one.
Isn't it weird? Like, would that happen now, where they give something... A first series that was that bad, they give it a second series, and it's just an entirely different show.
Yeah,
you could have called it something else.
Because,
like,
Blackadder got really good, like.
Yeah, but it's weird. Like, it was brought back for a second series, but it wasn't the same show at all.
No, it was completely different.
Bore no relation to that first series of Blackadder.
No. Well, they could have just called it. Kill everybody off at the end of the first series.
Did they kill everybody?
Yeah.
I can't remember now. But it but even like. The other ones took place in different ages, but the characters were kind of the same. But this wasn't. Like, this, it was. It might as well have been called something else.
If you, as you could very well, you might very well have done, if you sort of your first introduction to Blackadder was Goes Forth, and you went back to watch the first one. If you went back to watch.
Well, that's what I did.
If, like, you watched them in reverse, yeah, you would be like, Goes Forth, all right. Blackadder the Third, yeah, it's kind of, I know where I am with this. Blackadder the Second, yeah, still there. Then Blackadder.
You're just like, what?
Oh my.
What the fuck is this?
most, by far the most expensive looking one.
Oh yeah, well that was how they got the second series. They literally told them anything shot out that you can shoot on a fucking studio stage, get rid of it, because yeah, we're not paying for any more of this fucking you trotting off to a castle to shoot this shite.
Yeah,
you
know? But it was like, I mean, Blackadder the Second happened on two sets, like, didn't
yeah,
they? And they weren't expansive sets.
That was just what the BBC was like back then. Like, John Cleese tells that story about the six Pythons going in to pitch their show, the show that became Monty mm-hmm. Python, and they were just like, the guy was like, so what is it going to be? You're going to do sketches? And they were all like, yeah, yeah. What were you going to have, music? Anything like that? And they were going, maybe, you know. And there was like an interview like that, and at the end of it, the guy just went, right, I'll give you 13 shows. Okay. You know, and like, so, like, can you imagine, like, that guy at the end of that interview must have been like, I don't know what these lads are planning, but I'll just, 13 shows isn't going to kill anybody.
But
like,
they're playing the man and not the ball. I remember, what's his name, Bill Oddie saying that about the Goodies. It basically said, look, this is a standard idea. This is something like students send in from Cambridge to us. We get pitched this idea like twice a week. And Bill was like, yes, that's, what does that mean? And he's like, no, I know your stuff. I'll let you do it. Which is fair enough. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know?
I just don't,
although the like, Goodies passed me by. I have literally no context for them.
I fucking never watched it. I don't
Funky
know anything
Gibbon,
about it.
Wasn't that then?
Possibly. Don't know what that is. Funky Gibbon?
Ooh, ooh, ooh. The Funky Gibbon. I think it was in the charts.
Was it indeed?
In the 70s. I think that was the Goodies.
The
I think
Funky
they,
Gibbon.
They released like a single. Don't
get me wrong. I'm all for fucking primates with rhythm. Like, you know,
for
but
funk.
Niall, this is the Swap Me podcast.
That's what it is.
Every week we get together at your gaff usually and we swap pop cultural artifacts.
Artifact away.
We last week we did a sci-fi short story, for example.
Yes.
If you're into that kind of thing, buzz on back in the archives
to
the previous week.
Blow off the dust from the vellum manuscript.
Do you know the Google Drive's nearly full?
Is it?
Yeah, I got an email saying your storage is reaching. So
we
filled a Google Drive with podcasts.
We filled Google. We filled Google. What about Mark Zuckerberg?
Oh, that's some crack, isn't it?
Yeah.
I took Facebook off my phone. Way after the damage has been done. Yeah. Like, you know,
it's I fucking put it on my phone knowing there was damage to be done. Like.
Yeah, of course. But. Just sometimes then when you hear it out loud, you're like, and it's court cases and stuff, you're like, maybe yeah. I'll...
Yeah, but it's just the outrage that annoys me. It's like, you couldn't have put it on your phone without going through the same terms and conditions. Like, there's no terms and conditions for Niall McCann somewhere at Facebook headquarters. To get that shit on your phone, you had to agree to the shit I agreed to.
Yeah.
And I sickened myself agreeing to that shit. But I also kind of wanted to see Facebook when I was... out and about.
Yeah. So, and it's pointless. The thing that's annoying about it is that it's pointless. It's fucking pointless having Facebook on your phone.
I'm
what happens is, if you're at work and your phone buzzes in your pocket, you don't know if that's news about somebody dying or news that it's fucking some prick you haven't seen since school's birthday.
Yes.
You know, and I don't like that. It's like every time my phone buzzes in work, I'm like, oh, no, for anxious people, it's no good, like, you know, because that buzz could be anything, like, you know.
It could be anything.
I don't like it.
Concrete.
I wish important news had a different buzz or something, like, you know.
Yeah, but who decides what's important? Mark will do it for you, I suppose.
Yeah, Mark will see me right.
You see, the thing is, they can call balls very fucking well these days. It's like, there really was just a matter of, once you had the processing power, you could predict for people quite effectively.
Yeah.
A wee bit of romance has gone out of the world, Danny, you know?
Well, I mean,
the rage against the machine.
All we have to do is log off. If we all decided, like,
yeah, but
I'm not saying it'll happen, but it's possible.
It doesn't matter. I think the reason people get upset is that the problem is not, oh, I am no longer a mystery. The problem is, oh, it's not really, the problem is, it's possible for me not to be a mystery.
Okay, explain.
like you felt there was some sort of essence of the human spirit that was essentially unpredictable and divine and you know, its own thing that couldn't be touched by the technology, that would be, you know, fucking soaring back to God someday. And then really, once they got enough fucking servers, once they got enough data and enough processing power, it was like, oh no, you're a totally predictable asshole, just like everybody else.
But did you, I don't know, I never really felt like I was that unpredictable, you know?
No, neither did I, so that may be why I'm pretty much taking it in my stride. Like, but there's a lot of people not taking it, there's a lot of people shaking their fists at the sky, like, you know? I will
old
say,
man yells at cloud.
But I remember, you know, when they were bringing in this card. I have to say, I don't like the idea of a compulsory card, but I have no problem.
What card?
Like
social
a national
services card.
ID card, yeah,
I mean,
things like that.
To sign on, you had to get one, like, you know.
Yeah, but it's you know, if you made it compulsory that you have to walk down the street carrying it, yeah, I'd be a bit, nah, it's too much. But I have no problem, because they were talking about sort of bringing everything together in a database, and people were getting very outraged about it, and I just remember thinking, the genie's out of the bottle, you're being outraged. The only reason you're outraged is because you're giving all that data to Facebook anyway.
Like. Yeah, that's the weird thing is, like, we...
Facebook are going to defend you, like, if the government comes knocking on your door.
We sold ourselves for a dumb thing on our phones.
Yeah, we did.
You know,
and... But, I'm not going to speak for anybody else, but I knew I was selling myself for that dumb thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And fuck it, I am going to speak for everybody else. So did the rest of the fucking bollocky cunts that are now fucking giving out shit.
Bollocky
cunts. It's all you have to do is, don't go on Facebook, delete it. Delete your account.
Yeah.
What damage is done will be done. But no further damage.
That's the thing.
That's,
it's like no one's fucking twisting your arm. Like, I get it that you like looking at the fucking nose, all the things, picture of your dinner, this fella's birthday, baby photograph, whatever the fuck. I get it that you like it. Everyone likes it. It's fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was a time before that.
Yeah.
And we all did all right, you know.
Yeah.
In fact, we've had it for an awful lot longer than we've not had it. We have had it for a lot less time than we didn't have it.
Yeah, exactly.
And everybody was grand.
It is weird. I was... there's a Jack Reacher book sitting here on the table. But I got... my mom got me one for Christmas. And that's the one I got her for Christmas. She lent me. She's lent it to me now. But...
do you talk about Jack Reacher?
Not really, no. But the one she got me was like a flashback one that was set when he was still in the army before he sort of mustered out and went to get in adventures. And so it was like his last adventure in the army. But it was set in like 1996. And it was a period piece.
Well, yes, like Derry Girls.
Yeah.
Like Derry Girls is a period piece. They're able to make jokes that you only get if you were around in the 90s, like, you know,
yeah,
like them dancing around a Saturday night and all,
yeah,
that stuff.
Or,
like,
just,
you know,
or just not being able to find somebody.
Yeah, yeah. I've since we did the show about the Seinfeld episode a few weeks ago, I dug out the DVDs. I've been watching them again. Mm. And you're watching them thinking 90% of these plots are eliminated if they have mobile phones. Not even smartphones, just mobile phones where they can... There's one where they're looking for each other in a cinema. And,
yeah,
like, it would literally just be a text. George, you're in the wrong. We're in screen two. Oh, good enough. See
George,
you
I see you. I see you, George. I see you. Look.
Yeah, that's me waving.
Yeah. I went to see Ready Player One last week.
Oh, yeah. Were we talking about this? No, we weren't. We were talking about something else.
Yeah. I don't think we were talking about me having fallen out with half the people I know over it. Like,
really?
Yeah.
What about?
Oh, people get very precious about that.
Oh, people can go fuck themselves.
There is an element of that.
For fuck's sake.
There is an,
like,
element of that.
Enough though. Already.
It's... Not only is it a shit film, and it is, frankly, undeniably a shit film. I speak as a Spielberg fan, by the way. I really like Steven Spielberg.
But has he passed it?
No. Fucking Bridge of Spies was amazing. I haven't seen the post yet. But,
okay.
No, he's still producing great stuff. But, not Ready Player One. Ready Player One is awful.
Is Ready Player One about? I've heard these three words used together quite a lot recently, and I don't know really what the context is.
It's about a young fella and some random anonymous other people who apparently I'm supposed to care about by the end of the film, but don't. But a young fella who is living in a caravan and going onto the internet every day to win ownership of an internet company.
Oh, okay.
because if he doesn't win, a big corporation will win ownership of it.
You're
and
not
put
selling
ads in
it to me at all.
Yeah, no. Frankly, I'm not. I'm the only cunt talking about the truth. It depends, Danny. Do you feel that would be rescued by having the Back to the Future DeLorean in one scene?
Oh, is that what he's done? Has he put that car in there?
The car's in there, and then in another scene,
Doc
Batman
is
briefly in the background. Don't have any lines or anything, don't do anything.
He's just hanging
in
about.
In the background. You walk past, and Batman's walking past the other direction. There's Serenity from Firefly.
Oh, the ship?
Flies through the air briefly in one
scene.
What
does it take place in fiction land or whatever?
Well, it takes place in the sort of internet place where people collect pop culture kind of artifacts and they sort of play around with them in the internet
space. You should love this, really. Like,
No, because I am not some shark to be chummed to the surface. I am a thinking, feeling human being. As we've established, I'm very predictable along certain internet algorithms, but I'm still a thinking, feeling human being.
Chummed to the surface.
Well, that's what they were doing. It was like, okay, if I throw in enough shite, if I throw in enough fucking cow liver, maybe they won't notice that nothing behind it.
We were talking about it last week. That's what vinyl felt like for me. Here's an actor playing Bob Marley. Here's a fucking... The one thing that did save vinyl, though, is the episode where he tries to sign Elvis. He goes to Elvis's hotel room after a Vegas show. And
we'll do a part of it. That's an Elvis song, isn't it?
It's an Elvis song, that's correct. Yes. And the whole episode, it's almost like a little film, is him trying to sign Elvis in his hotel room. Like,
who plays Elvis?
I can't remember. Because I threw out the DVD, or not, to give it to
did
the
Did Elvis have kids?
Show. Yeah, fucking... Lisa Marie.
Oh, yeah, but did he have a son?
I don't know. I don't know if Elvis... Look.
I feel like if he had a son, we'd
I feel like there's a few sons of Elvis running about out there. I can't see how there wouldn't be.
He's a good-looking man, you know?
Oh, yeah, he
you
was
imagine
amazing.
Elvis's son would be a cause célèbre. And yet I couldn't...
Maybe,
fucking
I don't know.
George Best had a son. That cunt traded off that for years, like.
Really? Who was he?
Callum Best.
Was he a singer?
No, he wasn't. He was just a fucking dickhead. Oh, no, I'm sure he was a lovely fucking fella.
You can't do that. You can't go... He was a fucking dickhead. I'm sure he was a lovely fella.
Oh, you can like a dickhead. It's just like... I mean, what's he done for me lately? Like, you know, what's he done for me ever?
Yeah, I was just going to say
one
that.
One mildly amusing Podge and Raj interview where they cut him, reefed him to ribbons. But anyway,
with their little puppet dicks.
Yeah, but that was what Ready Player One was. It was just a bad film. Now, that'd be enough for me to go, ah, it was a bad film. Fuck it. Why? Who gives a shit?
Yeah, I
but
was.
Also,
explain the hostility.
It was nasty.
Okay.
Because it was purely done to pander to the kind of fucking asshole who'll send rape threats to Lady Ghostbusters and try and tank black superhero films. It was completely. Fucking hip
or that,
deep in that culture.
And
I was just like, you can't pander to these people. These people are disgusting.
Didn't these the people you're talking about, didn't they get together to give as many negative votes as possible to like Amy Schumer's comedy special on Netflix, this kind of stuff? So that
they're all the
you get, if you get 2 million thumbs down on something, there's a good chance it's not going to pop up in recommended.
I'm dithering on Amy Schumer, actually.
I think she's a great comedian.
She's funny. Yeah, I've seen her be funny, but she's sort of slowly settling like a fucking ball on a roulette wheel into a sort of Tommy Tiernan place for me.
Maybe so. She's
could
got a
be,
film coming
could
out,
be either, like,
which
you
could
know?
Kind of rescue her a bit, like you know. Yeah. But I feel like she. But
you don't need to be rescued from the Tommy Tiernan slot. Tommy Tiernan is perfectly respectable, but I just feel like I've seen him be brilliant and I've seen him be shite.
Well, he's touch of the Al Pacino about him, where he's just like screaming now, like you know.
Yeah.
But I think Amy Schumer.
Hoo-ha!
We'll get there.
Except he's hoo-ha!
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 And do you know the thing that bugs me about... I feel like Amy Schumer is a fucking comedy club animal. Like, you know, she gets up there. She busts out these filthy jokes. Like, you know, you don't learn an awful lot about her as a person, really, I suppose. But she...
Yeah.
Maybe in the most recent special you do. But she just busts it out. And they're like... It's adult humor. It's meant to be fucking heard in a dark, smoky room. And, you know, when you have a babysitter or whatever, like, you're like, yeah, we're going to watch Amy Schumer. She's going
to
fucking be filthy.
Schumer.
She's going to make us laugh.
Filthy.
But then I think, but I think that's her. She's like, it's proper sort of comedy club comedy. It's adults getting together to laugh at adult shit and then go home and rejoin society. You know what I mean? And that's why I like
her. You
need
a bit of that. You need a bit of that.
You absolutely do. And I like her. I think she's good at that. I think she writes great jokes. I haven't seen like a lot of her sketch show, but the stuff I did see was very funny.
Mm.
Tommy Tiernan, though,
Last Fuckable Year, that was good.
That's kind of genius, really.
It's phenomenal.
But
it also has a lot of people, a lot of fucking geniuses to fall back on there.
It does, yeah, it does, it does. But I mean, sometimes either good or it isn't, like, you know.
Fair play.
But I think Tommy Tiernan, Tommy Tiernan, kind of he bangs on about like the sort of. I feel like he bangs on the sort of more pagan aspects of being Irish, and it's like, we're Irish, we're raw, we're this, we're that, and like, but you see him and he's got like his scarf on and his wee waistcoat and you're like, you're a fucking hipster, you could be in fucking Foster the People or something, like, you know, fuck off. better run faster than my bullet.
There is that element. It's funny enough, I was talking to a chap at work during the week who it was reading something about being called, somebody called somebody a cunt, and there was some sort of Irish thing. We were like, that's not bad, we all use that word all the time. Now, I know I'm the worst man to be talking about this, but he was like, such bullshit. And I was like, I think I do use cunt all the time, like, affectionately. I don't think I would. It wouldn't be me trying to be.
We live
offensive.
In Dundalk, Niall. The more offensive a thing you call someone, the more pally it is. It's when someone calls you something nice that you need to worry.
Excuse me, sir.
Oh shit! All right. Has anyone ever said to you something like, "Come here to me, friend"? You know, you're just oh no, what does this person want?
Yeah, listen,
you know,
friend.
Or if you go, that cunt there, him. You know, like,
brother, I come in here. I've been queuing here.
Yeah,
that was
something
I got. I was something that got the bookies in all that. Brother, I'm just telling you. When I started queuing, that race hadn't started. Not my fault you're not fucking processing, brother. I was like, all right.
That's a job I wouldn't fancy, man. It's a.
It was grand.
Was it all right? I don't know. I think I'd buckle under.
There was an awful lot of fun.
Anything to do with, although given my current job, I probably shouldn't say that, but anything to do with people's money, you know.
But what were we saying? Oh, yeah, he was saying a cunt, and I was like, well, and he was like, yeah, but look, you can say it to, like, if so you know somebody, you can call them a cunt. But, I mean, that's not the same as what these people are talking about. And I was like, well, I do find them irritating, but it's a different. And it made me sort of sit and think about those people who go on to those sort of internet places and go, no, we get cunt. Why would you be angry about cunt? We call it a cunt. And it was like, I think it is a mildly affectionate thing to call somebody here.
Yeah.
And I think if you're going onto the internet and saying, I'm allowed to call Dave Chappelle a cunt, you're not only sort of fucking rebel yelling for Ireland, you're also kind of trying to insinuate yourself into a mildly affectionate relationship with the celebrity in question.
Yeah, I guess.
I was like, yeah, you're probably right. You wouldn't go up to Dave Chappelle and say, you cunt.
Yeah, decent old cunt, yeah.
Oh, you're one funny cunt. You might, but you'd have to be well pissed.
Yeah. And you, like, with an American, you'd almost get away with it because of the accent, but, you know, you couldn't do it to Bono.
No. Well, you can get away with a lot because of the accent, but as Conor McGregor is discovering, you can't get away with it all.
You can't get away with throwing a bin at a boss or whatever the fuck you did, like, you know.
Oh, poor old Conor.
So, as I was saying, this is the Swap Me podcast.
Oh, shit, I'm so sorry.
No, I only did that because it was
We're funny. A half hour in.
Honestly, I don't give a shit. I only said it because I thought it was funny.
Right, okay. Okay.
So, we swap pop cultural artifacts. We get distracted.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we, like? You know, what do you want to hear a fucking a staid, rigid review of Scent of a Woman? Surely, the film's been out for the guts of 30 years. Like,
you've seen it.
You can go elsewhere to find that. Like, look up Roger Ebert's fucking review of it and piss off. Like,
Wavering thumb, I bet. I haven't gone and looked at it.
Go to the Chicago Sun-Times archives and leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah.
Sorry. Anyway.
thanks for listening.
But, so you got me to watch. What year was this made in?
Are we going straight in?
What do you mean straight in?
It's 25 minutes. I got you to watch Scent of a Woman, which was, I should have done some research, shouldn't I? I want to say 92.
Is it really 92? I would have pegged it being a little bit later.
It could be 94, maybe.
Am I imagining things? Because when I tried to think of examples for this, I couldn't think of that many. But was there a sort of a spate of films around that time? Spate's a great word.
Mm.
But was there a spate of films around that time of kids at boarding schools getting inspired?
Dead Poets Society?
There was School Ties with Brendan Fraser and Matt Damon.
Yeah, yeah.
There's this one. But then I kind of ran out of steam there. I couldn't remember anymore.
There was three of them. There was exactly three.
does that qualify as a spate?
There must have been
more. If it was Killings, the three would be a spate. But I don't know. Boarding school kids being inspired style movies. I don't know if three counts as a spate.
What was the one? No, there was another one. The one with Joe Pesci, where Joe Pesci was a homeless man.
Brendan Fraser's in that as well. Yeah.
With Honours.
Is it called With Honours? This is With Honours.
Yeah, there was a few of them.
Yeah. Maybe you need like seven of them.
And there was the one about the gay chaps, the gay spies.
The gay spies?
Yeah. What do you call them? Oh, a very famous case in England. It's a true story. Well, they weren't inspired so much as corrupted.
It's not that well a defence. It's what side of the fence you're on. Like, you know, inspiration and corruption, you know, yeah, kind of the same thing.
Still, it just goes to show you what a homophobic society is. There was the gay chaps, they're not getting inspired. We're not inspiring gay chaps around here.
A lot of people out there inspired / corrupted by people like Keith Richards or, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Ain't that much of a difference between a bridge and a wall.
When you're out there on the edge, there ain't no difference at all.
But I said, what is that?
Hedwig.
Oh, okay, right.
Ain't that much of a difference between a bridge and a wall.
Great music, that. Mm. So, I was saying to you before we started the podcast, Scent of a Woman, kind of a gross thing to call a film.
I think it's evocative.
I think it's gross. Not too much difference between evocative and gross. Depends on what side of the...
It's... Right, when you're walking down the street and you're thinking, maybe I'll get a sandwich. Maybe I'll get a fucking ham and cheese sandwich. Do I want tomatoes on it? Yeah, it'd be one of me five. But that kind of thing. Somebody goes, scent of a woman. You'd be like, yeah, not. But there are fucking occasions where the scent of a woman is, you know, it's trying to take you into an intimate place.
Okay.
Okay.
Scent of a Woman is about Chris O'Donnell, Charlie, who is going to a very fancy boarding school.
It is pretty much the story of Chris O'Donnell being acted off the screen by Philip Seymour Hoffman. In a much smaller role.
Yeah. Philip Seymour Hoffman was probably the best because
yeah.
Al Pacino is very...
It's very...
He's very broad.
Yeah.
We could say, hoo-ha!
All he's doing really is looking in a different direction than everybody else without blinking.
Yeah, but... But he's not... That is my Al Pacino, though. I mean, a lot of people will be fucking like, oh, Serpico or whatever, Sea of Love, or fucking even The Godfather, obviously.
I always think Dog Day Afternoon when I think
Dog Day Afternoon, that's the same kind of era as Godfather. But this is my Al Pacino. This was the first time I properly encountered Al Pacino. So I kind of, when somebody says Al Pacino to me, I do kind of, there is like a wee guy in the back of my head that immediately goes, hoo-ha! Discreetly.
Yeah, okay.
This is where I came from. But Chris O'Donnell is a boarding school chap who in order to... But he's a scholarship kid.
So in order to make plane fare home for Christmas, he gets a weekend job essentially house-sitting a blind man, a blind retired colonel. But it is complicated because the day before the long weekend, the Thanksgiving weekend that he's babysitting this guy, he inadvertently becomes a witness to some of his fellow students defacing the dean's car. It was an elaborate plot. Like,
yeah, it was so... The first 20 minutes of it or so were just like, why do I give a shit about this guy's car? You know, it was so weird. Like, it could have been... But that was it, what Graham Linehan calls a CBA. It could have been anything. Why was it that? Like,
yeah, but it's because... I don't think that's necessarily fair because obviously he shouldn't give a shit about his car. It's just, it's like, it's not but the big thing he's making a deal. But he got it, the
board bought it for him or something, and it was just like, what?
Yeah, but that's because he is obviously a man motivated by vanity and by avarice, so that's what it's really about. It's not about the car. Like.
But it's not even about him. He is at the start and the end, and you don't see him at all in the rest of the film.
Absolutely is. So Chris O'Donnell, Charlie, sees some of his fellow students defacing the car. He gets called in as the only witness. He obviously says, well, I'm not a snitch. I can't tell on these people. I'm sorry, I don't know anything about the situation. The dean says, listen, Charlie, I can't really lean on any of these other guys who have very wealthy fathers and who are fucking funders for this school. But you, I can. You could be expelled. You'll lose your scholarship. You'll go back to your Oregon fucking rural parish.
Back to Portland.
Portland would be cool. Portland seems... Well, I only really know it from Portland.
Yeah, me too. It reminds me of Galway.
Yeah, it seems that kind of a place, yeah. But something about West Coasts obviously do it.
I think so, something yeah.
The points on the map. But he says, listen, on the other hand, if you do tell me, I'll get you into Harvard. We have a couple of fucking slots that they accept our recommendation on every year. And how the hell else are you going to get into Harvard?
And so an underdog is born.
So Charlie goes to meet Al Pacino's Lieutenant Colonel Frank Slade. And it goes... He's blind, by the way. He's been blinded.
It's a big plot point, that.
Yeah, that's why he's babysitting him.
While you're listening to this clip, just remember that.
Yeah, he is blind. And this was their first meeting.
Sir?
Don't call me sir.
I'm sorry. I mean, Mr. Sir.
Uh-oh. We got a moron here. Is that it?
No, mister. That is... Lieutenant. Yes, sir,
Lieutenant Colonel. 26 years on the line. Nobody ever busted me 4 grades before. Get in here, you idiot. Come a little closer. I want to get a better look at you. How's your skin, son?
My skin, sir?
Oh, for Christ's sake.
I'm sorry, I don't...
Just call me Frank. Call me Mr. Slade. Call me Colonel, if you must. Just don't call me sir.
All right, Colonel.
Sims Charles, a senior. You want student aid, Sims?
Yes, I am.
Well, for student aid, read Crook. Your father peddles car telephones at a 300% markup. Your mother works on heavy commission in a camera store. Graduated to it from espresso machines. What are you, dying of some wasting disease?
No, I'm right here.
I know exactly where your body is. What I'm looking for is some indication of a brain. Too much football without a helmet? Linden's line on Jerry Ford. Deputy debriefer, Paris, peace talk, 68. Snagged a silver star and a silver bar. Threw me at the G2.
G2?
Intelligence, of which you have none.
Is he supposed to be from the South?
You have none.
Don't know.
It's just... but it's just an accent he picked just for the film, even though where is he supposed to be living? Like New York State?
No, he's from New York.
Is he? But why is he talking like that?
Because he's a military man. Probably went to West Point. Hoo-ha! Maybe he didn't go to West Point.
You saw this at a very impressionable age, didn't you?
Oh, I so did. And I was ready to... I was ready to come in here sort of laying on that heavy, right? I was like, okay, right, understand. I was like, I don't know, I was 14 or 15 when I saw this. And I kind of watched it again this week in order to talk about it again, because it's a while since I watched it, which is why I swapped it. I was like, I want to watch that again. But I was kind of leaning, I was sat down to watch it with full excuse mode on in the brain, like pick any little jewel and be ready to play that hard the next time. And honest to God,
You just liked it.
I loved it.
I didn't love it. I certainly didn't love it that many times. but it wasn't really the film I remembered.
Well, in what respect?
Do you know the scene where... I thought it was more about them sort of on the hunt kind of thing. Like, you know, for ladies...
Oh,
because
oh,
there's that
no.
scene where he dances with the woman and the.
I would love to tango, and it is because of this film.
It actually made me think about learning, because like, the stuff people do in nightclubs now, I have no interest in doing that. Obviously, like, you know, it's just like, what? Is that dancing? Like, because I think dancing.
The answer to that question is yes. Yes,
no,
it isn't.
But like,
and I'm awesome at it.
But you know the generation. Like my mom's generation and previous, so our parents' generation, dancing was a big fucking deal. Like, you know, when
I was dancing, I'm only interrupting you because this morning I met my sister's kids and I was dancing with my wee niece, and she started. She's like two. She's becoming three now this year, but she started on voguing me. Like I was like, dun, 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 and she was. Nobody can see this, but she was pulling proper fucking.
Madonna.
Probably proper Madonna shapes on me. She's 2 years old. Anyway, go on. Sorry.
But
yeah, when you're,
do you ever see
your parents' generation, our parents'
But even
generation.
Before that as well, like grandparents even. Like, do you ever see these people at a wedding when they play the right song and they start jiving and you realise that this was like, if you couldn't get on a dance floor and dance with people, you were fucked back then. Like, you know, as regards meeting people and...
Aren't you still kind of?
Well, I mean, I got married and I've... never been on a dance floor. I've been on a dance floor since I was about 16. Like,
you'll find there'd be plenty of people like that back then as well.
Okay.
Do you not think?
Do you know what? I just feel like it's a real... It was a social thing back then. It's what you did to get out of your parents' house. Like, you know, you went to a dance. Like, and it's just like... Mm. And it just... I don't know. Like I don't
know. That was
like,
the show band's bread and butter. Like.
Yeah. But it... I don't know. It kind of connects, like, social... interaction along with like physical you know movement and like obviously you know send them home sweating, that whole business, like, you know,
yeah,
I don't know,
sweating.
I'm kind of jealous of it a little bit, like, you know, I
you can still have that,
but for what, like, you know, I don't need it now, like, you know.
Well, fucking excuse yourself. I mean, it was there, their dance floors were there, Dan, and they were popping.
But
in your era, what do you do when, like, I don't know what your equivalent of this is, but what do you do when your equivalent of Crazy in Love comes on? I have to get out on the dance floor,
I'm
man.
I'm an arm folder and a chin scratcher. I'm sorry. Like, you know, I just am, you know. Cat got mad at me one night because we were at a gig in the Spirit Store. Nick's Moon, who were a great local band.
Fair
and
play,
everyone
Nick.
Was jumping around
Fair
the
play,
place.
Nick.
And it's N-I-X and then Moon.
Ooh.
And what was I going to say? And everyone was jumping around. And I could tell Cat was really wanting to dance. I was kind of... standing with my arms folded, enjoying the band, like, enjoying watching the musicians. And she, like, got, I'm like, are you just going to stand there? Like, she said that to me, like, and I was like, look, what? No, do you really want me out there? Do you really want to, it'll do none of us, either of us any good.
Is it just self-consciousness?
I mean, I'm sure it is, but, like, what is the point now at 35 all of a sudden to be dancing around? Do you know what I mean?
It feels good.
Does it?
Yeah.
Not that. No, I can understand. Like, that jiving looks like fun. But standing on a dance floor on your own like a dickhead, like, you know.
Okay, you need somebody with you. You can't.
But even just, like, standing on one spot and, what,
frankly,
waving your arms around or whatever.
Frankly, I look predatory if I'm on my own. So, you know.
I can't be doing with that, like. But.
Could we invent a dance move called the Predator?
You this could is be called like the Predator.
Checker.
This move is called the Predator.
You could be like the 2018 version of Chubby Checker. It could be a song.
Yeah, it could be.
Everybody do the Predator.
Come on, baby. I'm a Predator.
Let's do the creep.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, man. I don't mind a dance floor. In my younger days, I would have been terrified of them, I suppose.
That's
weird
that you went the other way. When I was, like, up until about the age of 17, I actually, in Rock the Planet, I used to love jumping around to, like, Nirvana and all that stuff. But that's not dance.
No, but sometimes, I don't know. I don't know what the fuck I say to you, Dan. You know, it's to each his own.
It just got me thinking, you know, that I'd like to know how to do that, but...
know how to like jive. I'd love to know how to tango. Did
like,
I not? Was that
you,
not?
But like, if you're a nervous kind of person, you can't tango with sweaty hands. The person will just slide out of your grip, like, you know.
Go flying into the audience.
But was that not an awesome scene? Despite myself, I loved that scene.
I mean, it was fucking.
We'll just keep the womanizers away.
Oh yeah, to keep nothing like a womanizer to keep the womanizers away.
That's true.
Look, I have an awful fucking soft spot for this film. Right, it is. It couldn't be more Oscar vehicle if across the screen from the first frame to the last frame there was a stamp that said Oscar vehicle on it, right?
It should literally be a little car with Oscar vehicle. Yeah,
but I really like it.
But I don't think he's even that good in it.
Aww.
I really don't. I just like, he's got a weird accent.
He does.
You don't buy for 1 second that he's blind.
Do you not?
No, you don't.
Why, he doesn't look at it and fell full in the face.
Well then.
What more do you fucking want?
But do you think he had to, when he was doing that, like focus on something?
I don't know, possibly. Do I look blind now? I'm trying to do it now. So as I talk, my head is moving, but my eyes aren't.
Well.
Do I look blind?
I have trouble making eye contact, so I don't know.
I make myself make eye contact.
Do you, yeah?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I feel like...
Is that part of the dance move?
No, it's a weakness... Sometimes. But it's a weakness of character to... I felt for me, I should be able to make eye contact with people. Why not make eye contact with people? They're the windows of the soul, Dan. Wouldn't you rather be looking at somebody's soul than somebody's hole? I just have a knack for coming up with these witticisms.
I think... I don't know. Like, half the time I'm talking to people... More than half the time I speak to another human being, I'm trying to get out of something. So
I'm super self-conscious now about the eye contact. No. I wish I don't know what to do now.
No, you're not. But in that scenario, eye contact's no good. Because I'm not convincing.
I did something the other night I haven't often done.
There's always a moment in these podcasts where it goes quiet for a second and you go, I was out the other night.
I wasn't out the other night. I was in the gym. And I had been invited to a thing. And I'd said, oh, I'm sorry, I have something on. And then I met one of the other people who had been invited in this Facebook group. And I was like, oh, yeah, are you going to that? And he's like, yeah, you're not going to make it. And I was like, no, and I realized, oh, I have nothing on. What do I say to this guy? And then I just went, yeah, I didn't want to.
You should be allowed to say that.
You should be allowed to say that. And now I do have something on tonight. That I prefer to do than what I had been invited to. But I arranged that after the fact. Like, that's the truth of it.
What was the thing? Can you talk about it?
No, I don't want to talk about it.
All right, fair enough.
But, because, like, nobody deserves me to be shitting on them. And it's not shitting on them that I thought, yeah, this doesn't sound like fun to me.
I got an email at work the other day that I didn't open. And I was talking to someone later that day. And they were going, did you read that thing that I sent you about? And it turned out to be a work thing. And I was like, no, I didn't open the email. They're like, why do you not read your emails? And I was like, that email looked like I had a stupid fucking meme in it and I didn't open it. I said, like...
And is that what it was?
No, it was something important.
Oh, shit.
But I was just like, it looked like I was going to click it open and it would be a fucking cat with a laptop or something. I just wasn't interested. Or they love sending around these customer service memes, so it's like a fucking monkey with a headset on or something, like, you know.
We did.
And so I was just like, yeah, it looked like it was one of those fucking stupid things you usually send around, so I didn't open it.
Do you do the, do you do like Friday tunes or anything? What's your internet access like there?
I think everyone has better access than me. They seem to be able to get pictures and videos and stuff. And I'm like, I can't get any of this shit. How are you doing that? Like,
we did it. We do a thing some Fridays. So if anybody thinks of it, we send around. We have like a team group, chat group. And we send around sort of Friday tunes. Poor Sean got fairly lambasted this week. And I kind of initiated and I shouldn't have.
What was the tune?
Oh, I can't fucking remember what his tune was. I sent around, because I was listening to it all week. I sent around... Beginner's Luck, you know that.
Oh, right,
song?
Yeah.
And I was like, Friday tune, Beginner's Luck, and I sent it around. And Sean went, oh, cool, here's one. And it's not that it was a bad song, Danny. It wasn't a Friday tune, you know what I mean?
Was it Leonard Cohen or something?
It would have been in that wheelhouse. It wasn't Leonard, but it was that wheelhouse. I can't remember what it was now.
Jane came by with a lock of your hair.
Friday tune.
Yeah. What kind of Friday are you having?
It's a Saturday morning tune. Yeah,
it's only 10:30, lad. It's not going to go uphill for ages yet.
It's 4 a.m.
The end of December. Anyway, so Chris O'Donnell goes to babysit Al Pacino.
That's what they should call the film.
Yeah.
Also, he gets swept along to that airport very easily. And the family are just like, oh yeah, whatever. They talk to him for like 2 minutes and then leave him in the house.
I get the feeling that she was in and out that whole week, like I would say.
Okay.
Now, did you not get that impression? Because he keeps going, oh, she's coming back again.
But they leave Chris O'Donnell there.
You need a break. If you have like an invalid relative, it can be tough. Like.
Okay.
That bit didn't strike me as odd at all.
I felt like there was fuck all betting going on. It was just like, yeah, this kid.
It was the early 90s, Dan. It was the end of an era, really.
It's the end of joy, I suppose.
Like, that's
that used to be, I used to do that line in stand-up. I used to say, I don't know what I was talking about. I was like, but my parents grew up in the 70s, like, you know, before they invented joy.
I feel like my parents grew up in the 70s before they fucking abolished joy.
I think that now. For the abolished joy. I'm going to steal that, do you mind?
Walk away. The main thing of the thing is he shows up to babysit this man for the long week, the Thanksgiving long weekend. The family leaves.
He gets easily talked into taking him to the airport.
And then they go to New York. And actually, here is the plan. They go to New York. It turns out they're staying in the Waldorf Astoria, which always makes me think of Fawlty Towers.
Oh, yeah.
And
a Waldorf salad. The worst American accent ever on TV.
I'm afraid we're just out of Waldorf's, actually. Johnny
gives him a letter to read from the chef. Yeah. It's just like, what? this letter explains everything. It's so funny.
But it goes then to the Oak Room in New York City in Freak Show Central. And this is the explanation Al Pacino gives to Chris O'Donnell as to why he has taken him, unbeknownst to the family that Chris O'Donnell is supposed to be babysitting him for, to New York.
$24 hamburger? So, what's the story?
What story?
Are you like a rich miser or something?
No, I'm just your average blind man.
Your average blind man. How do you plan on paying for all this stuff?
Crisp, clean dollars. American. I saved up my disability checks.
How much did you save? I mean, the first class, we're at the Waldorf Astoria. It's a $24 hamburger restaurant.
All part of a plan, Charlie.
Well, do you want to let me in on it?
Why should I? You're not interested. You don't give a shit. You're leaving on that last shuttle out of LaGuardia. Hmm? Ooh! You got 15 minutes, son. I don't think you're going to make it. Unless the Oak Room keeps some complimentary helicopter on the roof. No, sir. No. You're here till tomorrow.
So you said that the last shuttle leaves at 2200 hours. That's 10 o'clock, right?
Last I heard.
Yeah, well, it's only 8:30.
I lied. Leaves at 9.
It leaves at 9 o'clock?
Calm down. The truth is, Charlie, I need a guide dog. Help me execute my plan.
What plan?
You have a right to know. It's not really a plan, Charlie. It's sort of a... more like a tour. A little tour of pleasures. Stay in a first-class hotel. Eat an agreeable meal. Drink a nice glass of wine. See my big brother. Nothing like family, you know. And then... make love to a terrific woman. After that,
yeah,
I'm gonna lie down on my big, beautiful bed at the Waldorf and blow my brains out.
May I tell you our specials?
You may, sir.
Do you think, was Charlie operating under the understanding that he'd be able to stop that? Because there's bits in it where they forget about that and actually have some fun. Whereas if that had happened to me, after he drops that bombshell, I would literally not be able to think about anything else for the next 2 days.
That is apparently very common with people who do that. That immediately before, they will be like...
They'll spend all their money on a...
No, not even that. They'll just be kind of on a high. It's like...
But not,
so this not, is apparently true.
Not to once, get too dark, but that's like in your head. If you've resolved yourself, you're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the end of responsibility. Like
it's the weight off your shoulders.
Fucking
and you would have
whatever to, that is, whether it's just a big phone bill, whatever the fuck it is, it's gone. It doesn't matter. Like you know.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, if you're in that situation, you kind of are probably suffering under a very huge weight. So it's kind of tragic, like you find people who are close to them, like family members, who would be like, oh, they seem to be coming through, and they just don't see it coming. Like,
there was sad. We might have talked about it before, but there was a girl I worked with in Galway,
mm-hmm.
who, again, one of those people wouldn't suspected for a second that they were under this kind of pressure, but she hung herself in the house, like she's only 25 or something.
God.
And I saw her like a week before. And she was one of those people that, like, I didn't see her that much at work. But if you were getting moved around the factory, you need to go and work in a different section, and you got moved to her section, you'd be like, "Oh, class!" This day's gonna fly by, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And
awesome.
It's weird, like, and then I had a birthday card. I think it might have only been a week or two before it happened. Like, and she wrote like "Happy birthday, sexy" or something on the card, like, you know, which is really weird to look at afterwards, like, you know.
You're like.
And it was like, it was just like, yeah, but like you were saying, you just don't, it's not the people you would expect. Now you
can't be in people's heads.
Yeah. And then myself and a friend of mine, another musician, her and me sang at her funeral. It wasn't her funeral per se, because she had she was Polish. Mm. So she had her proper funeral in Poland, but we sang at
like a remembrance.
Yeah. It's the weirdest thing. We sang like, Heaven by Talking Heads, and then the Cure, which was a song she really liked, you know.
Yeah.
But it was like, I wouldn't do it again. I wouldn't sing at anybody's funeral again.
Really?
No, I wouldn't do it.
My father does that.
Really? Just you're not a good singer.
Tours the funerals. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Hey, no, hang on. Great. He tours the funerals.
Well, people would ask him to sing at funerals. Yeah, that's what he does. He tours the wakes.
That's what this new Rolling Stones tour should be called. Touring the funerals.
Touring the funerals. He tours the wakes, but he sings at the funerals. Yeah, that's it. Funny enough, I was talking about my granda's wake last night in Norfolk, because it was there with my cousin, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a lot of family talk, and granda's wake came up. He was a madman, granda. There was some fucking stories about him.
Mad in the sense that he was sociable cat, or...
That would be a very charitable way to say it, yeah. And I'll leave it at that.
Do you ever think that, like, we do this podcast, right? Yes. And we talk about this stuff. But do you ever think that that's the kind of shit that we should be podcasting? Like, talking to people who were around. Like, I often think about interviewing Paddy Mac at the radio station. Because he played in show bands and stuff. He's been he's been in music since he was, like, 15 or something. Like, you know.
I've said it to you 50 million times. Because I happened to hear an interview with Pat Short. It was Shane O'Reilly recommended me Second Captain's podcast.
I'll never do it, but you did say it to me.
I know, but I think since you are a comedian and you have been there in the trenches. No, but you have been in the trenches, though.
I don't know if I call them trenches, but...
You've been there. I remember Pat Short talking about a load of old Irish comedians who aren't cool, right?
See,
there's
I've
no point in me saying they're cool.
I have no context for these people.
Yeah,
know?
But I think by the end
I
of it, you
I might know what to say
would.
To Milo O'Shea or whatever his name is.
Pat Short had a couple of really good stories, and I think if you tuck the fucking recorder...
Direct me to this podcast.
It's the Second Captain's podcast.
What is that?
They're the guys that used to do Off the Ball and News Talk.
Okay.
And then they sort of wanted to take like an hour off George Hook's program or a half an hour off George. They were getting big. They were the guys, I listened to them like when they were on News Talk.
Because they were just...
There was... This has nothing to do with anything, but George Hook must have been in the news again on Friday. Because you know the way on Internet Explorer when you're at work, you need to click on to a new window and it automatically opens the Microsoft News page. Every time I opened it, it was George Hook's fucking head that was there. Like,
are you sure it wasn't that weird fish?
No, it was...
I thought people were being cruel, just being cruel, but then I clicked on the picture and it did look like George.
George Hook. The audibly sweaty George Hook.
The audibly sweaty minister.
But anyway, I'm
crying from the turtles.
So Pat Short was telling some pretty good stories about these older comedians.
He had some great stories.
Like the
Jay
Leno thing on the
Joe
Rogan, which I went and watched, actually.
And how did you find it?
I'd heard that stuff on... And he actually talked about your man I was telling you about, Joe Ansis, the guy who wrote with Lenny Bruce.
Yeah.
Who was like Rodney Dangerfield's mate, like who basically like shaped modern stand-up, but never fucking got paid for it or anything, got nothing because he was too much of a basket case to get up on a stage. Like,
you could be the Irish Jay Leno, Dan. You could bring these men back to the forefront. Look, it's not hip. Those comedians he was talking about were not hip. They were not cool. But I think there are stories there. If Pat Short decided to do a podcast about them and go and chat, have a chat with them, I would. No question, I'd be the first man there to download it. I think it'd be great.
I don't think you'd be on the ball enough to be the first man there.
No, I'd be the 7,000th man there. However, once it happened, do you know what I discovered at the weekend?
Go on.
Lost a weekend to it in the end.
Oh, no.
Do you know Viper Higgins from the Hardy Books?
No. Dan, I don't know what any of those words mean.
Neither do I, right? I've never watched the Hardy Books. I keep meaning to.
Viper Higgins.
Viper Higgins is a fella from the Hardy Books. He's an Irish fella. But apparently he did some deal with fucking Russia Today. Or, you know that TV station, the satellite station?
No.
Fucking, what's his name? Larry King is on it now.
Is computer going to take off?
Yeah, probably. Don't worry, we'll get the last clip out of it. But, Viper Higgins from the Hardy Box did this news roundup for them for a while, I believe. Now,
Viper Higgins.
It is. Did I never fucking show you the Olympic sailing commentary he did? No?
No, I don't think so, no.
That was how I knew him. It is one of the funniest things I've ever seen on YouTube. It's him doing commentary for an Olympic sailing event. And it is. One of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
Well,
and there's nothing to it. He just had like the BBC or RTE's coverage and he talks over it. And it's going panning through the crowd. And
there's an Australian flag there. Don't see any of the Australians, but you'd hear them before you'd see them anyway. There's a lovely Finnish lady. I wouldn't mind finishing off with her.
It's ridiculous. Right, it's ridiculous. But Russia Today must have heard this or something and said, do that for the news. And so he just does the news. He just gives his commentary on the news and the occasional special. Like he goes to Cuba to investigate communism as a political system.
So he was there.
He went to Cuba. Russia Today sent him to Cuba and he was wandering around Cuba talking to people selling paintings to tourists.
I never watched the Hardy Books.
Neither did I. I have no context for him apart from that Olympic sailing commentary.
That's hilarious.
And there's a guy on the boat, on the Team GB boat, who looks a bit like Steven Spielberg. He's like,
there's a Steven Spielberg on the Team GB boat. It's a very eclectic mix of people on the Olympic, the Team GB Olympic team.
But do you not think it's always stuff like that that really makes you laugh? Like, one of the things that makes me laugh the most in the world is that guy he must be from Louth, like, who took that Postman Pat clip.
If he's not from Louth, he can fairly do the fucking range of Louth accent.
What's the fucking... You know, that's the whole thing. Forever and ever. I've never even seen it. Johnny Graham told me about it and I went... First of all, Johnny Graham telling me about that clip was actually funnier than the clip.
Oh,
and the clip is hilarious. But Johnny Graham telling me about it was fucking hilarious.
Yeah,
Johnny performed at Vicker Street a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, fair fucks to him. He was hugely funny.
Yeah, he's part of some kind of sketch comedy thing in Galway. I don't know what they're called.
I don't know why.
They're called Gimp Biscuit for a
while. I don't know why those fucking Man with Three Buttocks things didn't get bigger.
Well, when we were first... Do you mean the sketches?
The sketches were hilarious.
Well,
I shared one at work during the week.
Which one was it?
They
still put it.
Liam Whistles the Hits.
That's very funny, isn't it?
Because Sean had his earphones on, but you could kind of hear this... And I was like, what the fuck is he listening to?
And she was like, I have no idea. That's how, if I can hear it and it's so high pitched, how is he? So I sent it around. I sent around that group
very
chat.
Funny, yeah.
It was like Liam whistles the hits.
And Kenny's Kenny's voiceover on that is very funny. Liam whistles the hits. It's like kind of creepy, almost like.
Order now. I get a bonus Christmas CD.
It's very good.
It's hilarious, but it, I don't know why they didn't get bigger.
Well, the man flu thing got, I think it got a million hits on YouTube or something.
Fair
like that.
Fair play, but why wasn't fucking RTE writing a check?
Because the RTE don't give money to talented people. When have they ever done that?
My favourite one, I have to say, and I don't want to be fucking painting myself into a corner here, but my favourite one was the three condoms one. I thought that was...
Really? I didn't really understand why Kenny thought that was funny, but I was like, oh, okay.
During the week, after I shared the link, I went into a bit of a rabbit hole with the Man with Three Buttocks videos, and when that one came up, I had to stop. Not only is it probably not really safe for work, I was laughing at the desk. I couldn't help myself.
I'm in that, aren't I?
Yeah, you are. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you are.
Big, boom. Big fucking long hair.
So funny.
Why? I just didn't...
Let's just say... I used three condoms. For what? For arts and crafts? What did you
talk about?
It was comfortably. Anybody listening, go onto YouTube and search for how to avoid the question. It's so fucking funny.
That's, you know what? Weirdly enough, when we were doing that, I was like saying to Kenny, really? Is this okay?
It's so funny.
Just, but Kenny, like, he's big personality, you know, so it's like when he tells you something's funny, you're like, oh, okay, let's go with
he
that.
He was fucking right about that. That was hilarious.
He was like, Kenny is the inspiration behind this podcast, because when we did
thanks.
A man,
cheers, Ken.
We did a Man with Three Buttocks podcast. I was, you know, part of the troupe for a little while, and Kenny would say, well, you know the way you would talk about doing these things? Oh, we must film sketches. We must do this. We must do that. Don't Kenny is
just
the kind
of... listed our college years.
Exactly, yeah. But Kenny would say, like, someone would say, oh, geez, we must do a podcast. And Kenny would say, well, be at my house on Tuesday at 6 o'clock and we'll do one. You know, like, that was like... And when I first moved back to Dundalk and you and I were hanging out, we talked about doing a podcast. And then I was like, well, right, we'll come over to my house tomorrow and we'll record one.
And we did.
Yeah, and here we are. Like,
fair play.
He's that kind of dude, like, you know, he's... No, but that's, like, that came straight from him, because if he's an idea, he does it, like, you know, he doesn't fuck about, like, you know...
You gotta do it. I don't know why he does not have a fucking half hour on RTE every fucking Tuesday night at 10:30.
And, Kenny, if you do get one, give us a job. He doesn't listen. I don't think he listens, but...
Yeah, well, who could blame him? But, listen, those were... There was enough... It was way more elaborate... Those things were more elaborate than what fucking Viper Higgins did for Russia Today. But if you get in that wavelength, if it just hits you, you let it hit you the right way, they're just ridiculous.
Let's check it out. Do you want to go for your last clip of Scent of a Woman before your computer takes flight?
Because...
I don't know if you can hear it on the thing, but it's the fan is going away good-o.
Over the course of the weekend... Chris O'Donnell and Al Pacino achieve a certain level of mutual respect. Because Chris O'Donnell, Al Pacino learns of Chris O'Donnell's predicament where he's being bribed and threatened to betray his colleagues, his schoolmates. And Chris O'Donnell realizes that this is not an obnoxious human being, even though he kind of is, but it's a human being in pain.
It's an ineffective human being. No, I thought you meant Chris. No, actually, no. Al Pacino.
Al Pacino.
Right.
It's just a human being in pain who needs to it's kind of spoiling the end that Al Pacino is still around to save Chris O'Donnell's ass.
Yeah,
but
if that film came out today, that's probably one of the scenes that would be in the trailer. It would be him at the end going, you know, this is a man with integrity or whatever.
The kid's got integrity. Have a listen to this. I want like maybe 2 minutes after it finishes, Dan, and then we can go on to the film.
I'm sorry too, Mr. Sims. Because you know what I'm going to do, in as much as I can't punish Mr. Havemeyer, Mr. Potter, or Mr. Jameson, and I won't punish Mr. Willis. He's the only party to this incident who is still worthy of calling himself a bared man. I'm going to recommend to the disciplinary committee that you be expelled, Mr. Sims. You are a cover-up artist and you are a liar.
But not a snitch!
excuse me?
No, I don't think I will.
Mr. Slade.
This is such a crock of shit.
Please watch your language, Mr. Slade. You are in the Baird School, not a barracks. Mr. Sims, I will give you one final opportunity to speak up.
Mr. Sims doesn't want it. He doesn't need to be labeled still worthy of being a Baird man. What the hell is that? What is your motto here? Boys, inform on your classmates. Save your hide. Anything short of that, we're gonna burn you at the stake? Well, gentlemen, when the shit hits the fan, some guys run and some guys stay. Here's Charlie facing the fire, and there's George hiding in Big Daddy's pocket. And what are you doing? You're gonna reward George and destroy Charlie.
Are you finished, Mr. Slade?
No, I'm just getting warmed up. I don't know who went to this place. William Howard Taft, William Jennings Bryan, William Tell, whoever. Their spirit is dead, if they ever had one. It's gone. You're building a rat ship here. A vessel for seagoing snitches. And if you think you're preparing these minnows for manhood, you better think again. Because I say you are killing the very spirit this institution proclaims it instills. What a sham. What kind of a show are you guys putting on here today? I mean, the only class in this act is sitting next to me, and I'm here to tell you, this boy's soul is intact. It's non-negotiable. You know how I know? Someone here, and I'm not gonna say who, offered to buy it. Only Charlie here wasn't selling.
Sir, you're out of order.
Out of order? I show you out of order. You don't know what out of order is, Mr. Trask. I'd show you, but I'm too old. I'm too tired. I'm too fucking blind.
What's happening now? Mm. Anyway, sorry. Talking about something else.
Completely different.
to draw the veil or whatever, but we don't always listen to the clips when they're playing.
Listen. That, I'm moving my laptop away from the radiator.
That's where the fan was going, because it's beside the radio.
Probably.
Because the fan in my computer goes all the time, but it's just because it's fucked.
Radiator's off.
But I love that closing scene. And listen.
It roused me more than I would like, I have to say. I was really going, oh God, here they all are in their ties now, the students.
Yeah.
Ready to be fucking inspired, and of course.
Stuffed shirt, if only there was a fucking working class, maybe southern gentleman who could come in and teach you all what.
Well, here he is.
Hoo-ha! Look, I fucking love that. I was expecting to lean in much more heavy to this. This hit me at an impressionable age. I don't really feel I need to, because I watched it again and I loved it. And listen to me. It is an Oscar vehicle. It is completely unbalanced. Al Pacino has way too much of everything.
It's so much an Oscar vehicle that it may as well have a horn that they beep at the start of the film. Oscar vehicle coming through.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, a shitload of clowns should beep, jump out of it at the end.
Beep. It's backing in.
It seems like somebody's delivering some Pacino. But listen, I still loved it. I still enjoyed it. I still liked it.
I got teary at the right moments. That speech, that end speech, you haven't heard the best of that end speech. I saved that for you, lads. You need
and
to
what
listen
is it?
To
what
speech.
Are the four guys' names? And George and Mike and Tom
and Trent.
Right, if you are out there, you go fuck yourselves too.
Fuck you too.
Fuck you too.
Hoo-ha. It's
genuinely inspiring. It's very... It ties everything up in a neat fucking bow in a way that shouldn't really, probably, but... Isn't it weird? Churchill said that. Churchill said that of all the weapons, the one you don't want to be without is your voice. As long as you have your voice, you can be formidable.
Churchill said that.
Because I feel like the culture has contracted around that. Like, it's everybody has a voice now, but the amount of space you have to speak in, it's not just a voice. He had a forum. He had people sitting down, being made to listen at the end of that film. And I feel like we've accomplished half, and now everybody has a voice. Literally everybody. We are fucking podcasting, and who gives a fuck what we think? Like,
but it's true. Everybody, like, you know, but like, yeah. We're the last people in the world anyone should be listening to.
Yeah, but
But having said that, the amount of space that we have to speak in is just has contracted. It's weird. Everybody has their 15 minutes of fame, and it's like that's democracy and that's egalitarianism, but sometimes 15 minutes isn't enough. Sometimes if something exceptional has to be said, something important has to be said, you need to let it run to 17.
Well, that's why we made the podcast longer.
I have not, to the best of my knowledge, so far in my life, said anything important.
No, same so here.
That's not. I find that a very inspiring ending. It's a very, even though it's totally manipulative, and there just happens to be a woman there who this man, after a lifetime of empty sexual liaisons, through his eloquence at that moment, makes some kind of weird connection with a woman.
She looked familiar. She was she in Parks and Recreation or something? I feel like she was. I can't picture her in my head now, but when I was watching it, I was like, oh, she's in loads of stuff.
It's very possible, but she's dowdy. She's made to be, not the woman herself is probably a very beautiful woman, but in the film she's made to look dowdy. After him going around looking at women, I don't care if they're Roman columns or secondhand Steinways.
He was such a creep.
Yeah, but he was also kind of showing off for a kid.
He was still, but not in the gym or in his brother's house when he was talking to his nephew saying, you don't come down on your wife enough. And you're like, fuck off, you.
So used to sugar, you forgot to eat, taste the real honey.
It's just like, what are you doing?
He is in a very dark place, though.
I suppose, but still.
No damn good.
But it's also... No damn good. It's not like it's unexpected behavior often by his family. No. They're just like, oh, this again. Mm. He says this every year.
And that's where you discover, no spoilers, but that's where you discover how he ended up blind. And I suppose you kind of, up to that point, think of him as some kind of war hero and, you know...
He was dicking about with grenades or something. Dicking about, drunk
and dicking about at a fucking... party with live grenades. But listen, I really like that. Martin Brest directed that. I looked that up just before we started because he did Meet Joe Black and Beverly Hills Cop.
Beverly Hills Cop, really?
He did some very big films that I really like.
I would need to... I get the feeling Beverly Hills Cop is probably still really funny.
It didn't occur to me to question whether it was.
Just because it was made in the 80s, and when you look back on some of these films, you're like, ugh.
Here's the thing. You know. Here's the thing, Fiona. I was talking to... I was talking to somebody about Ready Player One. It was one of the people who I had insulted by telling them the truth about Ready Player One.
Insulted?
Yeah, well, I kind of had. And she's like, okay, well, do you have any other films that are sort of... what about a film that's universally acclaimed and you really, really hate? And so I left it for about... this was over Facebook.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, I left it for about 10 minutes, so it looked like I had to think about it. Rather than having an entire pile of shit.
Rather than having it on the fucking tip of your tongue.
This is a person who I need to think I'm not a curmudgeon for at least a little while longer, like, you know? But I was
the word
like,
curmudgeon has been used to me a lot this year.
There you go.
Anyway, go ahead.
Sometimes you need a curmudgeon, then.
Yeah.
But Groundhog Day. God intervenes so that Bill Murray can lie convincingly enough to date rape
you've
Andy
ruined
Murray.
Groundhog Day for me.
It should be ruined. It's an awful fucking film.
You've totally been like, yeah, he's right.
She was like, oh, I haven't really thought of it like that. And I was like, what about you? And she's like, Top Gear, I hate Top Gun. And I went, oh, I kind of have a soft spot for Top Gun. And she goes, of course you do, you're a man. It's
flying around in big dicks, like, you know.
But she goes, of course you do, you're a man. It's Dirty Dancing for Men.
Oh, right.
Blew my mind, and I was like,
that's
that might
perfect.
Be true.
They should put that on the fucking DVD.
They should put it on the posters.
Yeah, Dirty Dancing for Men, that's perfect.
That's exactly what Top Gun is. I was like, I've never even heard someone suggest that before, and you have phrased it perfectly and delivered it across Facebook,
Jesus
and you're
Christ.
Absolutely right.
Fair play to this person, whoever they are.
Top Gun is Dirty Dancing for Men.
That's fucking brilliant. Fair play.
Yeah.
Do you know what I was going to say earlier, and you kind of reminded me of it by bringing it back around to Ready Player One, is that this business of being super protective of the stuff that you love has been ruined for me ever since. Like, I used to be like that, but then I saw... Remember the Irish sort of S Club 7 group that came out? I think they were called Six.
And yeah, they came out of Pop Stars.
Yeah.
Irish Pop Stars.
At the Media Awards one
Nadine
year.
Kyle was supposed to be in it, and then it turned out she was under 18 or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Was.
But then that was the same thing. They did the Meteor Awards one year. I don't even know if they still do those, but it was their first
TV appearance. There's no Meteor anymore, so if they do it something different. They did
a version of After the Gold Rush by Neil Young, and it's one of the most vile things I've ever heard. And I remember thinking after that day, I was a different person after seeing it, because I was just like, there's no point in being protective of any of this, because it's all subject to being sodomized, you know? There's no point in getting too protective. If someone says something's a big pile of shite, then just live with it and move on. There's no point in being protective of these
every
things.
So often,
they're all intellectual
and
properties.
And you know what? Every so often, a little bit of sodomy is the spice of life, though.
Niall, I got you to listen to it. You to listen to an album by the Eels. I'm not sure what year this came out, and it's sort of around the 2000 direction, maybe a little bit later.
Yeah.
Eels, one of my favorite bands, anyway. And this isn't even really necessarily my favorite Eels album, but it's one of the ones that's not about everybody he knows dying. And I thought it would be more crack to talk about, to be honest. And it's got some great stuff on it. Mm-hmm. But I got you to listen to, and they have a new album out this week. The Deconstruction, which I listened to about half of.
And, is it any good?
It is. It's just that we'll get into it, but I feel like Mark Everett kind of writes. He's been writing the same song since day one, and it's kind of one big long song. And you either like it or you don't. Like, you know.
Okay, go on. Actually, play something off that album, and then we can.
Well, I'm gonna go with.
I can retort.
What I kind of feel like is the sort of title track, even though it's not really, but he says Hombre Lobo in it. And this is one called Tremendous Dynamite. Tremendous Dynamite, which I keep wanting to call Hombre Lobo.
Oh, which is it not called Hombre Lobo?
No, it's called Tremendous Dynamite.
She's dynamite.
You should have just called it Hombre Lobo.
Not my favorite song off it now.
I like that one, I have to say. I like his voice. He sounds about 150 years old on it.
I googled it on YouTube.
Is there a video for it?
No, but I googled the album on YouTube.
Oh, right.
And there's a video for Prize Fighter.
Do you not
have
fucking, what do you call it? Spotify.
Yeah.
Oh, you just have the free one, or do you pay for it?
No, I pay for it.
Oh, okay.
Can you get the videos?
No, I thought that's what you meant, that was the way you listen to it, because I know you are prone to walk about listening to YouTube.
Yeah, no, I listen to it on Spotify. I've been prone to walking about listening to this album. Dan, I know you fucking sold it as like, they have a new album, but I'll give you a minor one, because we can talk, it's like a minor Reels album or whatever. I fucking love this album.
Well, see, the thing is, like, they have, I love the first... Up until there's Beautiful Freak, Electroshock Blues, what the fuck, Daisies of the Galaxy, there might be another one, and then I think the next one is Blinking Lights. Those four and then this one are like my favourites. So there's five out of like 12 or something that I love. And
that,
the other ones,
that doesn't
I've heard
that impressive,
them.
But five brilliant albums is more than a lot of bands.
But that's true, but I figured this one would be better crack to talk about, because some of the other ones are like, he had a really tragic family life and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, and I just didn't, you know, I kind of thought this one, it's kind of more upbeat, and it's, some of it's kind of funny, like, you know, and...
Oh, yeah.
He's a great lyricist. Like, the person he reminds me the most of is Tom Waits. Because he kind of, not that he sounds like Tom Waits, but he's a similar kind of character, like, that he has a thing that he does, and he does it very well.
He's witty as well. Like,
yeah,
you can hear the...
He was on WTF this week.
Oh!
It's for the second time, I think, actually.
And did he have anything interesting to say?
Well, he sounded stoned just now.
Did you like the saying in the podcast? I'm sorry. Go on.
But please continue. He was just
I'm meeting somebody after this.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to be half fucking cut.
Are you going directly, or is there
hopefully there'll be a hiatus, a lacuna. Will there be a lacuna in your day now? Yes, Danny. I think I'm planning a lacuna.
But I've loved the Eels for years. My favorite albums. Well, I like Electroshock Blues, and I like the double album. I like Blinking Lights. But this is high up on the list as well. It's got some of my favorite fucking Eels songs on it. The one we just heard.
Prize Fighter.
Fresh Blood, Prize Fighter.
I was just telling you what that was playing.
What's a fella gotta do? I like that one.
Spend a little time with you. Yeah. Oh, no. Some of them are great.
I put this off. You saw this. This is an album about a werewolf, you said.
Well, that was his thing. Like, for a few years...
No, it's there. I'm not...
Fresh Blood is kind of the... He howls, for fuck's sake. But he kind of thinks... He always kind of has a, not so much now, but for a while he always had kind of a character when he was doing his albums, and this, and he had a big fucking beard, and the whole thing was like.
That's what I was going to say about YouTube when I fucking saw the actual video. They were like, "Fuck it."
There was a band of beards, like
you know what? There's a reason you are horny and frustrated. Fucking shave and put on a shirt, lad. Iron your shirt and shave. You'll be grand.
But I kind of like that bluesy thing that they do sometimes. Like, some of his stuff is kind of pretty singer-songwriter kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
which I like.
And, like, I was saying last week that I don't necessarily like these confessional singer-songwriters, but I like it when he does it. Because it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of earthy and honest. And
he has some...
It's not a million miles away from what Ed Sheeran does. On paper, it's very similar.
He has something to confess. Like you said, he had kind of a tragic home life. So those are big things to deal with, right?
Yeah.
And he... You know, if somebody wants to work that shit out through song, that's absolutely fine. And I don't hold it against Ed Sheeran either, because he's a young fella. So you can kind of... Okay, he's trying to work through some things that... don't really seem like problems to me, but he's a young fella. So, okay, when I was that age, yeah, okay, all right. But this guy is working through real shit. Like.
Yeah.
But and not in this album.
No, this. I think this was kind of a... He'd done... Oh, Souljacker. That's another one that's in the middle of all that. Well, Souljacker is very good.
Sounds like a kind of a cyberpunk film Mick Jagger would have made.
What was that? Free Jack.
Free Jack.
So literally the first five or six Eels albums are brilliant, like, you know, and the other ones after that might be brilliant as well, but you do get, when you're listening to that much of one person, you do get, when he puts out three albums in a year, you're like, oh, I'm still digesting the last one. We could have boiled, even this one has a couple of songs I would take off it, like, you know, and take a couple of songs that were on the album that came after it that wasn't as good as this one, but had a couple of good tracks that I would stick on here and whatever, like, yeah. But when someone puts out that much volume, it's like, it's whatever ones are your favorites, like, you know, and, yeah, you know.
Look, there are some songs, like, that Nombre Lobo one you played is not one of my favorites from the
album. Well, why don't we go for one that is one of your favorites? Well, pick one, and we'll give it a blast.
Listen, you told me this was a song about an album about a werewolf, and I just had Metallica in my head for some reason. I was like, oh, is it going to be that kind of shite?
After Neverland!
I put it off for ages, and then I fucking, like, 2 days to go, we actually postponed it then, but 2 days to go to the actual podcast, I started listening to it, and the first song that came up is Prize Fighter, and I was like,
and the first thing he does is howl.
Yeah, but I was like, oh yeah, this is first of all not what I was expecting, and second of all, this album is going to have to work very, very hard to turn me off now for the rest of it. I thought it was cool. It's just one of the coolest songs I've ever heard.
Well, then let's go for a clip of... this is actually the opening track on the album. The
opening track.
And this is Prize Fighter.
Well, if you need me, I'm right here. No matter what. always near. Yeah, I've been through a lot and you can't scare me. Now go on, baby, if you just dare me, I'll break through any wall. Just give me a call. I'm a dynamiter. I'm a prize fighter. I'm your friend. I got an ear. I'll always live. You know that you can always talk to me. Now come on, baby, take a walk with me. Tell me all. Tell daddy all. Just give me a call. I'm a go all nighter. I'm a prize fighter.
There's a quality to his voice there, and I think it's partially distortion that's put on his voice to me, but he sounds pretty hoarse as well, like, you know.
Yeah,
you can hear the nicotine, like kind of like Nat King Cole last night, like, you know, you can hear it in his voice. But I miss voices like that, like, you know, I don't think in, you know, like back in the day in mainstream music, you had people like that. You had people like Bruce Springsteen who didn't sound, well, he wrote quite like populist, easy to digest music. He sounded like a person, like, you know, he had a husk
that?
To a growl to his voice.
How are you,
like,
saying,
you know,
that now? Populist, easy to digest music.
Well, Springsteen, but like,
yeah, but there's a craft to that, like.
Yeah, I'm not downplaying it, but what I'm saying is, like, I can't think of anyone who's making, with the exception of someone like Jack White or Adele, who's making music at the minute.
Is she retired?
I think she may have. She had a lot of problems with her voice, like, you know. But big people voice. Where you can, maybe Beyonce as well, but people where you can hear a person there. Like, you know, I think there's a lot of music around at the minute that, I don't want to sound like a fucking old man yelling at a cloud or whatever, like, you know, but there's a lot of stuff that just doesn't sound like, you know.
That was an Onion headline. That's where I took that from. It made me laugh super funny.
I thought that was The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah, well, no, it could be, but The Onion had a headline. It was around the time of all the pussy hat marches. Liberals meeting this weekend to shake fist at Sky.
Just
it is very funny.
I have no... Look.
Do you know what? It's like there was a Waterford... Maybe I mentioned this before. The one Waterford Whispers headline that really made me laugh. It was just, local man wears hats now.
Oh, it's a fucking...
It's always the stupid ones. Like, it's like the ones that are like really well-crafted political humor. I never find them that funny.
That's...
But like, local man wears hats now. I just think that's genius.
One of my favorite Onion headlines ever was, man on verge of enjoying himself suddenly remembers all of responsibilities.
That's great.
Because I've been there. You know, like, oh, should I be enjoying myself?
You turn into Tommy Tiernan on Father Ted, like, you know.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. But listen, that's, you know what? That is the exact tone of Viper Higgins.
Oh, okay.
And his news things. He does this sort of.
To watch them.
He has this sort of repeated joke where he takes sort of well-crafted publicity things and says, "Luckily, I was able to get myself a ticket." Now, he obviously clearly didn't get himself a ticket, but he puts a weird reverb on his voice and makes it sound like he's in the audience. So he went to, like, this isn't even the funniest one. I can't remember the ones that made me laugh most, but he claimed he had gotten a ticket for the front row of Monica Lewinsky's TED Talk, and it goes through her very serious opening. I fell in love with my boss, something I regret to this day, but the first thing he said to me,
and then with the fucking proper echo on his voice, you just hear big Viper going, "Did he say do you like cigars?"
It's not even a joke. It's just, like, silly. But this one where he claims he's in the fucking American fighter plane when they're bombing Syria. And, sorry to bring everybody down. The world will end quite soon, as we all know. But let's go out smiling. He has this thing where he's like, "Hey, lads, there's fellas letting off fireworks down there." "What? Oh, lads, Jesus Christ, lads." Jeez. And then another bomb goes off and he's like,
Oh, Jesus, lads. There's no joke to it. It's just silly.
But that's funny. Like, yeah. We were talking about the jerk a few weeks ago. It's just fucking... Funny's funny. Like, I'm kind of... I like funny with weight to it as well. Like, I fucking love Chappelle and whatever. Yeah, like, you know, but... As long as it... We were talking about this before. As long as it's not fucking reference-orama, like, I'm down, like, you know.
Yeah. But this album was kind of like that, in a way.
In what sense?
Apart from the name, the Hombre Lobo name, it's not explicitly about being a werewolf, but it is obviously...
No. Like, we were saying while that song was playing, I don't think he was, like... He's fucking showing up dressed up like Lon Chaney Jr. or whatever, being like, what would a werewolf do in this situation?
Exactly.
Like, you know, it was just in the back of his head. He kind of thought, I'm getting a little bit older. I've got this big fucking beard. You know, I'm Randy as a stoat, whatever.
That's
like, you know,
it.
It's kind of what the whole thing's about. Like, you know,
it just goes from being, oh, fucking horny. I'd fucking do that. And I'd do a hole in the fucking wall, lads. And then suddenly to that moment after you've done the hole in the wall going, what the fuck? Fuck am I doing?
The longing or whatever, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It goes completely fucking... It's a roller coaster of an album. But it's a fucking roller coaster, I recognise. Like, it's... I think you'd have to be made of stone not to recognise it, like, you know?
Yeah, but that's what I like about him is that he's a fucking... Like, he does... Like, he's a fucking... He's just a bloke. Like, you know, and he works really hard at what he does. He's not a great singer or a great musician or a great this or a great that, but what he does, he just does it really well. Like, you know, and he just puts words together in a great way. Mm-hmm. And what I mean, like, he kind of, like, his whole career, like, there is a tendency among some of these American artists, like, I kind of recognize it a little bit in someone like Tom Waits, someone like Bruce Springsteen, even like Dinosaur Jr. or someone like that, where they're kind of writing one big song. And there's not a super amount of variety in some of the work. Like, you know, like, even when Tom Waits kind of went weird and was like, the songs were the same kind of songs. They were just kind of, instead of like someone playing brush percussion on it, he was like smashing a chest of drawers with a plank or whatever. Like, but the songs weren't that different, really. Like, you know, and it's like,
yeah, hard to listen to those Tom Waits songs.
I like them. Whatever Tom Waits is selling and buying, like, you know.
I have an awful soft spot for him, but.
But I like his weird stuff. Like, I was in the record shop in town here, Classified Records, today, and I went in because Neil Young has re-released some stuff. Yeah, I'm a pretty regular customer in there.
Fair play to them. It's a good thing, because that tea shop. In fairness, that tea shop lasted longer than I thought it
would. Which tea shop was that? The Chris Cafe or whatever?
No, the place that sold tea, specialty tea.
Oh, right. I didn't know there was... I think that's when I was away.
Oh, yeah. There was a tea shop there. And it sold tea. Not tea bags now. You couldn't go in and ask for Barry's.
Like,
you'd just
scoop it out and put it in a little...
Put it in a little paper bag.
Get one of those little globes, those little mesh globes that you put into the teapot.
That's it.
Or whatever.
There's your specialty tea now. There's your Javanese...
Which we should have. Why shouldn't we have nice things?
But it lasted 2 or 3 years. When I saw it, I thought, you would be 3 months. I would give you three months.
Why not? Like, you know.
I never would darken the door.
I'll go there. I'll go to Mullins. I'll go to fucking... I'll get sushi. I'll go and fucking eat at the Indian restaurant. I'll do whatever's going on. I just want variety in this town.
Can you smell the chips?
Oh, it's a great smell, to be fair.
No, not the morning after.
Oh, why did you have chips in here?
Been them this morning. I met my cousin. I met Cormac last
Tinder.
Night.
No, Grindr.
Grindr. Look, needs must as the devil drives, Dan. But last night it was my cousin and he was getting a lift home with a fella who was working. So it was at 2 o'clock and it was pretty late. Town was kind of quiet, to be honest with you.
Yeah, where did we go? We went to the Long Walk last night to get fucking sweets. I bought... See what I had last night?
I've done that.
I had a dime bar. I haven't had a dime bar since I was about 11.
I love a dime.
Lovely.
They're beautiful.
Yeah, I just saw it there. And anyway, it's fucking nothing to do with anything.
Smooth
but
on the inside, crunchy on the outside. Armadillos!
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, remember that?
But the car park in the Long Walk was deserted. And Tesco's was open late. Like, you know, usually Friday, Tesco's open late. People doing their shopping after work. Deserted. I don't know what was going on in town yesterday.
I walked out of the Vinegar Man's at about 2:30 last night. And
this is all of a sudden. If you don't live in Dundalk, this means nothing.
Yeah, right? The Vinegar Man's is a nice pub. It's a good pub. It's I kind of have gotten to enjoy the Vinegar Man's now. But I came out of it at 2:30, and the streets were deserted. And I thought, do I want something to eat? I don't really want something to eat.
But you kind of do.
But as I walked past the Europa, I said to myself as I was walking across onto Arrow Street, I was like, if there's nobody in the Europa, I'll go in and get
stronger men than you have been crippled by walking past the Europa and being like, fuck it.
So there was one fucking fella standing at the fucking counter in the Europa. So I was like, fuck it, all right. So I got a cheese and bacon burger and chips. And they were sitting here this morning. I got home and I was like, I didn't want this.
Oh, you didn't even eat them?
No, I didn't fucking eat them. There was half a burger and a full bag of chips sitting here last night, as this morning when I woke up. Like,
it's a disgusting sight, isn't it? The burger, the next day.
I walked in through that door and it was just the vinegar hit me, like, you know. Oh, vinegar.
It's the smell of hangover.
Yeah.
It's just like, that's a hangover
smell. I didn't go too fucking flahoolock with it now last night, but...
Our apartment in Galway, when we used to... We would have people, like, we'd invite half the Roisin Dubh back to our apartment back in the day, like, you know, and the next day...
I'll be what the day is,
But the next day, the room, it would have that sort of smoke, sort of fog over it still, and the ashtrays and the beer bottles with fag ends in them, like, you know, and the chips and the... It's just like, for something that takes on quite a romantic glow at night, the next morning it's just like, oh Jesus, I don't want to deal with that. You'd go back to bed rather than deal with it. Like,
but everything has that. Everything is both romantic and disgusting.
Yeah.
I remember watching, and it's not a film I particularly like, it's another Chris O'Donnell film actually, now that I'm thinking.
Jeez.
But I remember...
Batman and Robin.
No. Less said the better. But do you remember Circle of Friends?
I mean, I've never watched it. I've heard of it.
I watched it. There's a bit where Minnie Driver goes to him and she's sort of playing as a schoolgirl. I have a fucking awful soft spot for Minnie Driver. I'm not 100%
When Good Will Hunting came out, I did as well.
Yeah. It's stayed with me now. But,
she's a singer now, isn't she?
Is she?
I think so. She made an album.
Isn't she? She doesn't seem... She's fucking very alluring, but unstable. You know, the kind
also, not a great actress, really. She's all right, like,
Gross
you know.
Point Blank.
But I mean, was she that great in Gross Point Blank? I haven't seen that in years.
I feel like she's passing.
I like that film. I haven't seen it in a long time now. I need to see it again.
She can fairly do an Irish accent. I'll give her that.
Okay, fair enough.
But there was a bit in the where she was playing like a schoolgirl, where she was talking to Chris O'Donnell, falling in love with Chris O'Donnell, you know, and they're talking about sex. She's like, I don't know. Sometimes it feels like I want it more than anything in the world. It's a woman's film, obviously. I want it more than anything in the world. But then other times it feels like. Well, would you want somebody to stick your finger up your nose? And there are both of those sides to sex, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and a party is like that. It's like, it is kind of like, oh yeah, there is this fucking romantic element where you're fucking just following the flow, you're surfing on the fucking good vibes, like, and then there is also the element like, oh, it's kind of disgusting.
Do you get that sometimes when you hear, like, comedians or men in fucking mass media in general on telly or whatever talking about it like sex, like where they're like, oh yeah, anytime it's offered, yeah, gimme, whatever, like, whereas
no,
some nights it's just like, even some nights if it's
in
a possibility,
word,
and
no,
you're
I
like,
don't.
But you know the kind of talk I'm talking about though.
Yes.
You hear it on TV and then you think,
I do, absolutely,
that's not really my, sometimes it's just like, I don't really fancy getting into all that right now.
I absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? Like, not all the time, but you know.
I'll say to you, you're a married man.
Yeah.
I was a man who was.
You may as well be married.
For all practical purposes, married.
Yeah.
And I absolutely know the thing.
That's why if
Pete Holmes.
If I'm the one who is in the mood and the other person is the one who isn't, I always understand.
Absolutely.
It's always like,
unquestionably,
yeah,
I was like, I'll have a wank, there's no problem there. You're grand.
But you know what I mean? It's just like that portrait of the, like, but Pete Holmes has this great joke about, I don't know what he's talking about. He's talking about some article that he saw in a women's magazine that says that ways to please your man or whatever. It's like we're just these walking penises. Like, just because you walk in and negligee, I'm going to be ready. It's like, you're coming in here demanding sex. I just heard a song on the radio that reminds me of my father. Why'd you leave me the fuck alone?
There was a bit of that. Look, there was one night in particular. It stayed with me. It still to this day stays with me. It kind of defined my attitude to sex. It was the Friday night I'd watched Have I Got News For You, And if you recall, the Saturday night then, they have I Got a Bit More News for You, which is the same episode, but with 15 minutes of extra material interspersed in between everything you saw literally the night before. And I was sitting, and Have I Got a Bit More News for You was starting. And
you tilted back in your chair on a couch like you would have done then, telly on,
oh, I can't wait now to get this extra 15 minutes of shit I've seen before. And this person came in and was like, will we have an early one? But in a way, like, will we have an early one? And I was like, I just had to go, yeah, all right. But my heart was watching, Have I Got a Bit More News for You? I was like, how many hours is it going to be before somebody gets that up on YouTube? That's all I was thinking. Through the whole fucking, whatever it was, 20 minutes, half hour. 20 minutes, half hour, by the way, not of me trusting with everything else.
I know, I get it.
I'm a gentleman to me, so like, I'm not going to just like go in and out, like, you know what I mean?
But it's one of those things where it's like,
everybody's while, like.
I know exactly what you're saying, like, and like, yeah, like when it's me who's the one that wants to get into it, and the other person doesn't, and they have to go, is that okay? And I'm like, no, I'm not like an animal, like, I'm fine, like, you know, I'll be all right, you know. Tomorrow's another day, you know.
You're like, you're
how did we get into this?
I have a great story.
Fucking about the eels.
No, listen, I have a great story about my father, but I can't tell it because it's too close to home.
Okay, fair enough. Will you tell
it? It's not weird or dirty or anything, but it's just one of those things. Go on.
Will we go for My Timing Is Off?
Which, yeah, go on.
All right, so this is a track. What was the one you were talking about that you shared as the Friday tune at work?
Oh, Beginner's Luck.
Let's go with Beginner's Luck.
Well, I don't know. Which one is My Timing Is Off? We can play loads of them.
All right, well, in the next 9.5 minutes.
I'd say we have about 10 minutes.
Okay, so this is actually
because of our sneaky cut. Listeners that
we went ballroom dancing and came back. So we went for a tango. So this is I like My Timing's Off.
Go for it.
This is a good one. One of my favorite ones on that album, My Timing Is Off.
Isn't it weird that that's on the same album as Prize Fighter?
Yeah, it is. But My Timing Is Off. The thing is, like, I think there's songs like My Timing Is Off and songs like there's even like they just kind of get buried a little bit because there's so many Eel songs, like, you know, and it's very a little bit like.
I think we should take their foot off the fucking.
Well, the album that's out at the moment is the first one that's been out in years. Like, they've put out albums I've never heard.
Mm.
I've never heard the one, The Cautionary Tale of Mark Everett, or whatever it was called, like, you know. Because I was just
I
like...
I love that title.
Yeah, yeah. It was called something like that. Mark Everett is your man's name. That's, okay. But I was just like, I just don't have it in me to listen to another sad album by this guy. Like, you know, I heard one song off it, and it was like... How could I have left Agatha Chang or something? And I was like, no, I don't think so.
Okay, listen.
Like, I love Lisa Hannigan, but when she put out that album that had, like,
she's lovely.
Prayer for the Dying and Funeral Suit and all these titles on it, I was just like, no, just not right now. Sorry, Lisa. another time. Have I Got News For You is on.
Have I Got A Bit More News For You?
Listen, I love this album. It is the kind of album that you want to reach in and slap the guy occasionally. Except, Ricky Gervais has ruined this phrase for me. But there is a kind of an ironic distance there that you wouldn't necessarily get if Metallica sat down and said, I'm going to make a werewolf album.
Yeah, because they dress up. And they'd be like, every time I go out, silver bullets,
Yeah, you exactly.
Know, it's like, oh, fuck off. Exactly. And the only reason I fucking know anything about werewolves is because he said it in an interview after the fact. Like, well,
he does have a song in there. Oh, no, it's not called El Hombre Lobo, is it?
No, it's called Tremendous Dynamite.
What the fucking album is.
But what is that what Hombre Lobo is? Is that mean?
Well, Lobo is wolf and Hombre is man.
All right, so it's man-wolf.
Man-wolf, yeah. It's, oh, I have such good time for it. Because it goes from like, I fucking have to go fucking out there. Let's go fucking out. Let's go to Ridley's. Let's go upstairs. We're in the fucking rum house. Let's go to Ridley's. I mean, fucking young ones. And then you're up there. And then it goes straight into the next song, which is when you're upstairs in Ridley's going,
you need fresh blood.
These are all, no, it's like, these are all young ones. Like, well, let's go back there.
My timing
let's
go is back up. There.
My timing is up. But that's what the album's about, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I fucking love that. And he does that weird thing in Price Fighter. He's like, tell me all. Tell daddy all.
Oh, yeah.
Daddy's a weird one,
isn't it? Do
you know
what? The older I get and the more sort of, what's the word, woke or whatever you get, I can't deal with songs with the phrase little girl in them at all.
Can you deal with the songs with daddy in them?
No, I can't deal with that either. I sing with a friend of mine, we play in pubs the odd time. He's a regular musician, and I whenever he gets a two-piece gig, I jump in and we sing, do the gig together.
Yeah.
And we do I Saw Her Standing There.
I saw her standing.
And I sing
for anybody who doesn't recognize the song, go on anyway.
Instead of the actual first line on the song, I always sing, well, she was just 33. If you know what, you know, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm not singing 17, yeah. I'm sorry. Like, it was creepy when Paul McCartney did it when he was 22.
Couldn't you say 23?
No. 33, age appropriate. Actually, the thing is, though, 33 is actually older than my wife.
Yeah. Yeah, you prick.
Yeah, so, yeah, but it has to be 3. Because it's like, it has to rhyme with, you know what I mean.
It could be 23. Yeah, look, I understand what you're saying. This is, I was kind of half talking about this because recently I've had, I think, I don't want to sound,
once I see the fucking, the face palm, I know.
It's because it's a minefield I'm walking through, right? You look at Me Too, right? The Me Too movement. And I more than entirely support it. I was a little taken aback how absolutely explicitly obnoxious men could be, right? Obnoxious is not strong enough a word. Predatory men could be, right?
Well,
hoo-ha. Hoo-ha. I was a little bit. But I think there's a broader context to it. I think if you focus on Me Too,
I know you're making a good point because the sun just came out.
The sun just came out and is shining down upon me.
It is. You're just bathed in sunlight at the minute. Go for it.
Thanks be to Jesus, Dan. I have.
It was so weird.
The imprimatur of the fucking, the highest of the high, the holy of holies. I think once reliable birth control was in the hands of women, not men. There's been reliable birth. We've had condoms for a long time, for hundreds of years. But once you had the birth control pill and it was in the hands of women, that changed everything in a way that we have not properly processed yet. And I think there's an idea that, well, then women can just do whatever men could do before. And any reasonable person would go, oh yeah, that's brilliant. But once they do, there's a whole set of secondary influences. That does not negate the fundamental moral value of that change that happened in society. And is not, and identifying them is not the same as saying, well, we should go back to how it was before. It's not the same. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is there were a whole bunch of secondary fucking consequences
that we didn't see coming and we weren't prepared for. And I think, without coming to poor mouth, because I don't feel this personally, but I see it in certain friends of mine, men are a bit all over the place now.
I couldn't agree more, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Don't really know where to lay their hat anymore.
Yeah, and like...
And that's a small problem compared to the problem of how women were treated before.
But even outside of...
So that's the problem you want to have, but it's still a problem.
Outside of even gender politics or sexual politics, whatever you want to talk about. Mm-hmm. When I first moved back here and I was looking for a job,
mm-hmm.
and I was going, handing in my CVs and places and going to interviews and stuff.
Yeah.
As a man in his mid-30s looking for a job, you might as well be a clown looking for a job somewhere other than the circus. Because I swear to God, I've never felt as ineffective and useless in my whole life as I did going to job interviews as a 34, 35-year-old man. It was just like, I might as well have been fucking, you know, literally like wearing flippers or something. Like, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but
look,
I was just
at my
like,
custard pie work.
You just know, every time I walked in the door, I was like, they don't want me. They've no use for me here. Like, you know, I'm a fucking, you know, I'm a non-entity to these people. Like, you know.
Yeah, but then if you've held in a job for a while, that's almost a signifier in itself. If you were going out looking for, if you were going out fucking knocking on doors again, you would find the fact that you've been holding down a regular job would transform the situation for you.
Maybe so, but I know other people who are kind of in the same situation, and it's not... I mean, it's a good thing that it's not a man's world anymore, but it is going to take... You know, we've had shit put in our heads about this since we were born. Like, you know, it's going to take a little getting used to, like, you know.
Here's my thinking, right? I'm not saying I have this solved, Danny, but I'm certainly thinking it.
Well, you had the other thing. What was the last uncomfortable conversation we had? Yeah, that solved. So that was one of the podcasts.
That was abortion.
Yeah, that was one of the podcasts.
That was the episode I solved abortion, yes.
I remember, like, that week.
To everyone's satisfaction.
Sometimes walking to work, I'll listen to a bit of the podcast just to see how it came out. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to listen to this one. I don't want to live that again.
Yeah, no, and fair play. But I think... I don't even know what I'm saying. It just struck me.
It's because I interrupted you. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I just feel like... I weirdly feel like I'm in kind of a good place at the minute, even though any objective person would maybe look at it and go, really? But why
do you think that? Not that you're in... But why do you think anyone would objectively think you're not in a good place? You've got a good job. You've got somewhere to live, you've got money coming in, you've got savings, you're looking into buying a house. Like, I mean, what fucking more do you want?
Yeah, no,
the obvious, but you know.
Yeah, the obvious is, yeah. Well, I want the obvious, Danny. But,
the obvious, please.
I'll have the obvious. The usual, sir? No, thank you. I'll have the obvious tonight. I just feel like it struck me last night. I can't even remember what I was talking about last night, but it struck me last night as like, you know what? This is just a way of people are floundering, trying to find how they fit in the world now because everything they've been told. Look, I'm making a fundamental choice that most people think. I'm going to try to be a good guy, right? That's how most people think. No, it isn't.
No, I know.
No, nice guys. Never trust the fucking man who tells you he's a nice guy. Oh, my problem is that I'm a nice guy. Really?
Nice.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck you.
What are your downfalls? Well, I'm far too nice.
Yeah. Have you ever fucking... This is something that maybe only comes in Tinder conversations, but it is something I've said repeatedly. I was like...
I'm kind of a perfectionist, actually.
No. Yeah, but I was like, some people say I work too hard, but no, it's something that, again, this might be something that only comes up in Tinder conversations, but you do find yourself in situations where women are sort of trying to fucking, they're trying to be nice, like, and you're like, don't, I'm not nice, I'm not a nice guy. Anybody who tells you they're a nice guy, you should run a fucking mile, that's a swipe left. Even if you block me immediately after this conversation, please take that one thing with you. Anybody who describes himself or thinks of themselves as a nice guy, swipe left. There's something wrong with him.
Yeah, it's true though.
And that's what this album is about.
This is an album where the mopey sort of slow songs are like, oh, I'm just trying to be a nice guy. But you know, you're only fucking maybe one song at most. Maybe it's going to be the next song, but maybe the most, you're only going one song away from him going, I want a fucking ride, man. I need a fucking ride.
Oh my God.
That's what that album's about.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. It is.
Have I put it too bluntly? Have I put it more bluntly than what's his name?
What's his name?
The Eels guy?
Oh, I mean, yeah. You put it more bluntly than he did. I don't think he... Did he snort at any point?
I don't think I have. I think this was fairly explicit in that album.
Well, yeah, Fresh Blood is kind of like that.
You have to be... All I'm saying is, right, you have to be able to cope with the fact that sometimes the most appalling things will find life in you. And once you're able to sort of draw a line under it, maybe a double line, and say, okay, I had that fucking urge. I maybe even followed it a little bit. But now it's done. Once you can do that, you're all right, like, you know?
You have to accept these things in yourself.
You do, though. You really do.
You know, I'm not, and I don't just mean, you know, sex things, but whatever these things, whatever they are, you just have to accept, alright, that's a weird corner of my brain I maybe shouldn't go to every day, or whatever, like, you know.
Don't call people horrible fucking cunts because they liked Ready Player One, for example.
Is that what you did?
No, but the spirit of what I was saying came across quite well.
Let me ask, was this a close friend?
There were two people who I regard quite highly. Mark and Niamh.
I'm going to say it now. I'll make a public apology because I don't think either of them listen to this. Mark, Niamh,
I'm fucking sorry. It's okay that you liked Ready Player One.
Are they work people?
One of them is and one of them isn't.
I don't tell people at work. I do. I have a podcast.
You have to be able to fucking put yourself in a context. You know? That's all I'm saying. And at this moment in time, men are really not sure of what context.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more.
I reiterate.
But it's a thing where, do you not feel like it's a thing where the dinosaurs are really standing out, but the people who are trying to correct themselves too much are also really standing out? And it's just like, that's why we're floundering, like, you know?
There are people who think there's nothing to be corrected, and there are people who think... There are people who can't draw the line under the thing. There are people who won't accept that they had that urge. And that's not healthy either. You can't dissociate whole elements of yourself. You have to be able to go into fucking Lilac Breeze. You know what I mean? That song. You have to be able to do that song, which is the most, apart from Hombre Lobo, to me, is the most explicitly werewolf song. Because it doesn't talk about werewolf on this album. Well, it doesn't talk about werewolves.
Do a quick clip of it before we go.
I want us to play it with Beginner's Luck.
Okay, fair enough.
Because Beginner's Luck, to me, could have been like a 60s vocal harmony band song if they really wanted it to. They don't arrange it like that at all in this.
No, it's true.
But Lilac Breeze is just this sort of sensory explosion in that album. It's like, why does Lilac Breeze sound so threatening? And it's because he just had one of those fucking mopey songs. I wish you loved me like I love
Lilac
you.
Breeze through the wolves and the red.
Has the Lilac Breeze ever sounded so threatening? It's because Lilac Breeze is like, what's that smell?
Is it like Screaming Jay Hawkins when you do that? I put a spell on you.
I put a spell on you. Which always reminds me of, what's the film with Bette Midler and the dude from Erie, Indiana?
Oh, Omri fuck Katz. You. Asking the wrong man. My knowledge of Bette Midler's oeuvre is non-existent.
It was a kid's film. It was the first film I ever thought were virgin. I know what virgin means. Without having to look it up, by the way. Google is overrated. But it hit me at it. I was probably slightly too old for it. Hocus Pocus!
Oh, yeah, we were talking about this the other day, myself and Kat. We were talking.
There you go.
And like, yeah, because it's weird, because I kind of had a thing for Sarah Jessica Parker in that film, and then you watch Sex and the City years later, and I was like, oh, her? She's really annoying.
I liked Sex and the City, quite a lot of it.
Yeah, no, me too, but...
It was a funny TV show.
It was funny, but I mean, only when Sarah Jessica Parker wasn't there.
I liked it. I had a lot of time for it. Not all of it. It got shit. But you can say that about a lot of things.
But like, if you make 250 of something, exactly, it's gonna get shit.
Exactly.
Nothing can stay that. Like, some films don't stay good for 90 minutes.
Everything needs an end. The great fucking lasting myths of the human race. Fucking whatever you're talking about, Zeus, Odin, fucking Jesus Christ, they have an end. Like, but the Bible has an end.
Part
you
of
need
something,
that end.
Part of something being good is it being surprising. You going, oh, I didn't think, you mm-hmm. know, that mm-hmm. that's what that was. Like, the same when you heard Prize Fighter, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
You know, whereas after 250 of a thing, it's not surprising.
Yeah.
How could it be? Excuse me.
Yeah, it's...
I'm a little bit burpy from
the
beer.
It's probably almost impossible to be fresh at that point.
Yeah, like, that's like... The last two seasons of Seinfeld are the most tired looking, and even some of the seventh, it's just like, oh god, lads, close the lid on this fucking thing. This is like, they're now in their 40s, and they're like, you know, oh my date, you know, whatever. Like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. But, look, but then if they actually do try to do something fresh, a la The Simpsons, it's not what you were going there for in the first place. It's a no-win situation. You have to be able to know when to...
I know we're getting near the end now, but... The Apu thing, did you read anything?
I really want to swap that, but I also feel... In a weird way, I don't want to say I feel like it's not my place to discuss it, because I don't like those people who are like, oh, your white privilege is not nothing to do with you. And it's like, well, look... You can value my opinion how you want to value my opinion, but I'm still going to vomit it out there, right? My opinion is coming out whether you want it or not. Like, you can choose to ignore it.
Someone at work was saying this yesterday. He was saying about... he was pontificating. He was saying, do you not think political correctness has gotten out of control? And he was like... He said something along the lines of, you can't even just express an opinion on something anymore. And I was like, what opinions are you having that you need... Fucking the absence of political correction to fucking express them, like, you know.
This is my Ready Player One thing. I talk to people as if I'm talking to you, right?
Bad idea.
Yeah, no, but that's true. Like, it's like people get offended when you don't.
I did that. I made a snafu in my own marriage talking to someone like I would talk to you. Like, Kat put on the Sixpence None the Richer version of There She Goes on the speaker. And I just went, ugh.
I like that.
I did that. I went, ugh. And I got put off. And I was, she was like, okay, off it goes.
Well, I hope you're
put
happy.
On whatever you want.
Yes. And I was let's listen to some proper music. Let's see what proper music you've got to pick.
And then I pressed play and it went, Lilac Breeze Through the Warm Summer Night. No. But I was put in my place. I was like, and then we decided that the Bluetooth speaker is a place of no judgment.
There's no such place.
Just no out loud judgment.
There's no such place. What you need to do is be able to say, there's two things you can do, right? And the first one is the better one. The first one is to say, I'm going to allow you to judge what I love, however you choose to judge it. And that's the best way to do it. And just let it water off a duck's back. Or my more regular reaction is, I'm prepared to defend this to the dying breath. I kind of know you're not, because most people aren't. So I win in the end. It's just who's going to last longer in how fucking... And the answer is me. I'm going to last longer defending the thing I love. Or attacking the thing you love.
Well, the place I go to with that is like, well, whatever, I love it.
Exactly.
Do you know what I say that annoys people more than anything when it comes to these kind of conversations? I say, well, I disagree with you. People fucking hate that. People really hate it.
I would hate that. If Mark or Niamh had gone, well, I disagree with you, I'd have been like, can't disagree about facts.
People really don't like it when you say, you know all the words you just said, if you reverse those, that's what I think. But anyway,
Dan, we're 2 1/4 hours.
Oh, we need to
slightly less because of the secret cut nobody'll know about, but we're a good 2 5 minutes, like.
So what have you got for next week, Noel? Have you thought of anything? Nothing, not a stitch.
I literally haven't thought of anything. Well, right up to the moment you asked me.
Will
that.
I go ahead?
Yes, you go ahead.
Another band who have been. Do you mind another album?
No, it's the last album worked very well.
All right, then I'm setting myself.
I haven't expressed. Maybe I haven't expressed this to our listeners. Go listen to Hombre Libre. Hombre Lobo.
Go listen to Mumbly Lubla.
Go listen to Bugga and Uberle. I'm going to be listening to this for months. So whatever it's album great. You're giving me now is got a hill to climb, I'm afraid.
Well,
but
the thing is, it's I'm torn between two albums by the same band.
Two lovers?
Yeah, Feeling Like a Fool. There's a...
Well, loving both of them is breaking all the rules, Dan.
No, it isn't. Not when it comes to albums, or if you're a member of the Magic Numbers. Ooh, all their songs were about loving two people.
Isn't it weird that... Yeah, well, on that first album... So, they look very cuddly, but... That's different from looking...
But they were also... They're an attractive band, regardless of their size.
It wasn't a fat thing, I was saying when I said cuddly.
Yes, it was.
No, it was a fat and hairy thing. Which is different to just plain fat.
I always thought of them as a good-looking band.
Did you?
Yeah.
No, I never did. All
right.
But in a weird way, that kind of made...
One of the best gigs I ever saw was them playing in a really small venue in Galway one night. And it was near Christmas. And in the middle of one of their tunes in the second album that wasn't that good, it's not a great album, but the first album went down to just sublime. Bass, and then your man started going in that voice of his, it was Christmas Eve, babe, and I was like, oh, fuck, dude! It was cool, you know?
I love the Magic Numbers.
Yeah, me too. And that second album's not that good, but the ones after that are. They've made some really good stuff, but that first album is fucking genius.
Mm.
But that's not the band I'm swapping. That would have been great.
We could swap the... I could maybe swap that first album in there.
Well, that's up to you, man. I would be down with that.
Go on, anyway.
But I was going to say... I don't know. Like, it's two albums by the same band, right? And it's... Yeah. The Manic Street Preachers have a brand new album out this week. But also... Well, this is the thing. I've only listened to it once. So it's not like I know it's super in-depth, but I really liked it. But we can go with either that or... The Manic Street Preachers actually do have a greatest hits compilation called Forever Delayed.
Oh, no, do a proper album.
Do you want to do a proper? Well,
yeah, do a proper album.
You'll be kind of discovering this at the same speed I am, but do you want to talk about the Manic Street Preachers' new album next week?
No, I won't be. I'll be discovering it at a much lower...
You'll be discovering it on Thursday evening.
No, yeah, I will absolutely watch it. What's the album called?
It's called Resistance is Futile.
Okay, Resistance is Futile. Fair play. I will have a listen to that, Dan.
Cool. The only version of it on Spotify is the deluxe edition, so I'll do a bit of research and see where the actual fucking thing stops, because there's 30 tunes or something, like, you know.
Fucking
But Jesus. No, but the real one will have like 12 or something like
okay,
that.
Okay, fair play. You're not going to thank me for this swap.
Oh, God. What is it?
I want you to watch Valerian and the City of
Scent of a Planets. Pacino.
Scent of a Pacino.
Sorry, what is it?
God, enough of banging a Pacino up there. I want you to watch Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets.
Oh, Jesus. What's that?
It's a sci-fi film that was extremely badly reviewed and therefore I didn't see until suddenly it popped up on my Netflix and I watched and I thought, not that bad.
So it's on Netflix?
It's on Netflix.
I don't have to get it on some weird sci-fi blog.
So it could be worse.
Okay. What's it? Valerian and the what?
Valerie and the Planets. Valerian.
Awesome name for a band.
Yeah,
Valerie and the Planets. Sorry.
What about the gold? Jack named the planet New Villa. Because it's New Villa. Good name for a planet.
I went walking into worlds.
Oh, it's a good tune, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets.
Valerian.
You're going to hate it, but I have some very good reasons why you'll be wrong about that.
Cool. So, is it long?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, man. How long?
Watch it in two fucking sittings.
Okay. It's a shame there's not an option on Netflix like there is on some of the podcast apps where you can speed it up by twice.
Everybody listen to Al Zabo Soup, the podcast. It's really good.
Al Zabo Soup? What's it about?
Well, they call it Al Zabo Soup, but that's not how I pronounce it. It's about Gene Wolfe, basically.
Oh, okay.
I've been listening to it literally nonstop.
It's just the Gene Wolfe podcast?
It's a podcast where two guys... read Gene Wolfe's work in real time and discuss it as they read.
Well, I'll be able to listen to one episode of that. And have you ever heard The Losers Club?
No, what's The Losers
it's Club? It's a same idea, but they do Stephen King novels. Mm. And each episode is about a different novel. I listened to the Pet Sematary
one. The Losers Club was from...
It.
It, yeah.
I was listening to the Pet Sematary episode recently. It's very good.
There is also one where they do the 2 minute Goodfellas. Did you ever?
No, what's that? Is this one of these things they watch 2 minutes of Goodfellas at a time
and talk about it?
They did that with Star Wars as well. So the first like 15 episodes of it is just the crawl, whatever. Like, you know,
I would sooner listen to the Goodfellas one.
Yeah, me too. We have to put a pin in this. So thanks very much for listening, guys. Next week, Valerie and the Planets and the Manic Street Preachers new album, Resistance is Futile. What's it called? Sorry, I don't mean to.
Go, Valerian. You'll find it. Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets.
All right, so Vulcan and the Gypsies, whatever it's called. So, you realize I'm going to have to listen back to this to see what the...
Do I sound like Ricky Gervais?
That was kind of a Gervaisy kind of laugh.
Oh, it just struck me there. Do I do that all the time?
Yeah, but luckily the only person that makes you laugh like that is me, so it's all right.
Oh,
God. So, thanks very much for listening, guys. Thanks for downloading. We'll be back next week.
You're fucking possibly, gemstones.
If Niall's not rehearsing.
I'm super sorry, or else there'll be a super special guest star.
We've got, pretty soon we're going to have Niall O'Connor back on the podcast talking about his new album. I'm going on a trip to Galway to play on Niall's album, first of all. And then I'm going to review him about the album that I played on an hour before.
We're a depleted force compared to what we were the last time. I don't even know how much help we gave him the last time, but we're a depleted force now. Like,
it's all right, you know. He specifically asked, okay, would you want him then to do a podcast?
So you're a fool to yourself. You make good music, so I'm happy enough that you continue.
All right, guys. Cheerio. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All my life I had this funny little feeling. Came and went time and again among my daily demons. Call it a deficit, an emptiness inside. Why is true love hard to find? Why does true love hide? But now I found you and I know that we would be so very happy if you could only see that I was made for you and you were made for me. Beginner's luck, we've got it on our side. If you are willing, well, I think I'm qualified. And with beginner's luck, we've gotta take the ride. I've got a plan, you know, I've got it all worked out. And all you gotta do is pack your bags and check your doubts. You come around and you see just what I am. True love through the worst of times, a true love till the end. So now you found me and you only gotta see how complimentary we could really be. Cause I was made for you and you were made for me. The road in front of us is long and it is wide. We've got beginner's luck, we've got it on our side. Gotta take the ride. We'll take the ride as far as